Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, dear Lord. And, dear Lord, just thank you for the ones that come out to our meeting today. Lord, just guide and direct each and every one of us to serve our counties in the proper way, dear Lord. And, dear Lord, just to help us make the right decisions. And, dear Lord, just we got a lot of illnesses in our county, dear Lord, and sickness, dear Lord. I just pray that you put a special hand upon each and every one of them families and put them back on their feet where they belong, dear Lord. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Need approval of the workshop with the EOC on February 15th.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor. Need approval of the regular meeting on February 15th.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye.
Vouchers.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Aye.
Any constitutional officers here like to speak?
No.
Need a motion to go in the
motion. Motion.
Motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
Aye.
Petition by Ricky Turner and Andy Sullivan requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.3.5 special exceptions of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in the Arizona District in accordance with the petition dated 1-12-2024 located on the property described as follows: Dixie County Parcel Number 26-09-13-4468-00-00-00-60-1978-NE-641. Commission District 2, Mr. Daniel Woods.
Any opposition? Any opposition here on this one? Anybody on the phone? You guys heard anything?
No, sir.
Motion to approve.
Got a motion, Mr. Wood, to approve.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Okay.
Aye.
And a petition by David requesting special exemption to be granted as provided in Section 4.4.5 special exceptions of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in the agricultural zoning district in accordance with the petition dated 2-8-2024 located on the property described as follows: Dixie County Parcel Number 28-09-13-4472-00-00-20 Northeast 385th Avenue.
Any opposition?
No, sir.
Have y'all heard anything?
No, sir.
No. Anyone here oppose it? Anyone on the phone? No. I need a motion to
approve.
Got a motion, Mr.
Second.
To approve. Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Motion to approve.
We've got a motion from Mr. Hatch to approve. Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye.
Now we got applications for variances. A petition by William Ashton Krause, located on the property described as follows: Dixie County Parcel 19-13-12-2994-00-02-2180-287 Southeast 241 Street, Old Town, Florida 32680, to request a variance for the reduction of side setbacks from 10 feet down to 0 feet for the construction of a new boathouse by petition dated 11-9-2023 which is located within section 4.7.7 RSA/MH, subparagraph 2 of the Extended Land Development Regulations, in accordance with section 12.4 of Grant Procedures, Commission District 3. Mr. Mark Hatch, there was opposition to this.
Any, are they here? Come on up and speak.
Come on up here. Is this on the water or on the hill?
This is on the canal.
On the canal.
I oppose this.
State your name.
State your name, please.
James Melton.
Thank you.
And I'm across the canal. Going to cause a problem with us getting in and out of the of this boat shed being built there. Cause a problem getting in and out of our to get the boats in and out.
Is the yellow block? Or is
it? So currently, right now, what they're requesting is zero setback on the side. They haven't petitioned for anything on the width of the canal.
This is their existing boathouse. It's actually past that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but
they just want to go to zero to their property line. Correct.
This yellow block that you see right here is the property adjacent to it.
Is that yours, Mr. Melton?
Sir.
Are you adjacent to this property?
I'm across the canal, yes, sir.
Oh, you're on the other side.
He's across the canal.
Okay.
And so
he's wanting to come 6 feet out in the canal with his new boat shed. Look at the plans.
Haven't we visited this before?
No, it was just something like it. The petition is the side setbacks. It's not for
the width of the canal.
It's for the side.
That petition is so that he can build that boat shed. Look at the plans. Go through the plans. That's nothing to do with that. This is a variance.
This is what is that yellow block.
Yeah, this is just for the variance to go for this.
Mr. Leon, does that property line, owner's property line, does it go to the middle of the canal?
No.
Okay, so the
25% the width of the canal.
I know, of course, you have some that is on.
Yeah. How wide is that canal right there?
We're not
75 feet.
But we're not talking about the width of the canal. This application is for side setbacks. If they submit a plan that doesn't conform to the 25% rule, then that would be applied for then.
So it's 75 feet from side to side there?
Yes, sir.
That's after the boat shed being built? Or
no, sir. That's the width of the canal from seawall to seawall.
Okay. Yeah, but there's already existing boat shed that's been there from day one.
If they don't
not the canal. You're not talking about, maybe the canal is 75 feet.
So here's the thing.
You know, but you're not measuring from the existing boat shed that's already there. See what I'm, you know, understand? He's already got a boat shed that's there. See, and most people, whenever they go to build something like this of this caliber, they go ahead and dig into their property. You understand?
This
instead of wanting to go out into the canal and cause issue.
Is that your boat shed's across the way. So when
right.
you're going in, you're backing out.
Exactly.
All right, with that boat shed being on your shed there, how much room is between the two buildings?
Right now, about 4 feet. By the time back out, there's about 4 feet from the existing.
So this move today
I understand that. What I'm trying to get is it got me more than 4 feet. Well, your boat shed stops, and his proposed stops. How many feet of water is between those two buildings?
Not a whole lot, sir.
So here's what I'm hearing. Existing boat sheds, if they're not permitted, are violations.
Mm-hmm.
And if he has a violation there, he's beyond the 25% of the width of the canal, that neighbor can file against that. We've had floodplain ordinances in place since 1982, but that ain't what this meeting is about. This meeting is about side setbacks. The adjacent property to him, right there that you see in the yellow block.
Well, I'm against the variance.
I understand what you're saying, Leon. I'm just trying to address his issue, trying to figure out how long a boat he's got.
Wait a minute.
Well, it's inconvenient for him to get in.
I have a 10-foot setback on both sides of my property. That's the law.
Yeah, you can come up and be on site.
He's across the canal. I understand that.
There's
a place that I've highlighted right there that's adjacent to the property owner, and they were granted a 5-foot setback from
The property line.
Correct.
Property line.
We got another gentleman who wants to
speak.
State your name.
My name's Robert Larson, and I live next door to Jimmy Melton across the canal from Mr. Krause. And I oppose it, too, simply for the same thing that Jimmy said. I have an existing boat dock there, which was recently rebuilt, permitted to the county, stayed in the same existing footprint as the original boathouse that was there for 50-plus years. And if he extends outwards along the canal, it's going to be hard for me to back out of my boathouse, which I just spent more money on that boathouse than I did buying the property. So I'm just opposing that if he moves on out to property edge, it's going to be hard for me to back out.
Come here for a second.
Yeah, you're going to explain that.
This is you? This is
the one that we're talking about right now. Is this one you?
Where
you
at? This one's me.
This one's you?
Yeah. And my boat back out this way. And if he moves all the way down, it's going to be hard for me to back out.
You understand what his petition is, the same as this one.
No, he's going to move the existing boathouse. I have no problem if he wants to rebuild that and put something up on top or anything. If he stays within his existing footprint, I have no problem with that.
This is what he's wanting to do. He's not wanting to extend it out. He's wanting to go to the side of it.
Right. He's going to extend it out this way to zero lot line. So that's going to extend out the width of the boathouse.
I doubt very seriously it goes to zero, but this is what we're talking about. We're not talking about coming this way anyway.
Right.
So if he comes down this way,
it's going to be harder for me to back out and turn around.
How did you get so far out?
That's an existing boathouse that's been there for 50-plus years. I rebuilt it within the exact same footprint that it was.
Okay. Who's this fellow? Where's he at? The one that's wanting this.
He's
right
here.
Right, you come up here, too.
William Krause, this is what I have to show you. When the boathouse is going to be, the new one is going to be built, the variance is calling for the setbacks on both sides zero, but we're only moving it to the south zero. It's not moving forward any. So there will still be...
If you move it to the south, that's going to Mr. Roberts, what he was talking about when he backed out.
No, this is to the north of me.
Okay,
the south is Jimmy, yes, sir. No, that's fine. But right now...
Is that Jimmy... McTeer?
No, sir. No. He's my neighbor.
Who's Jimmy McTeer?
Robert McTeer. He's
Where's
my neighbor
he
to the north of me.
Okay, because he's opposing you also. He's in Valdosta. He just talked to me this morning.
Yeah, it's not going to the north. I'll still have the same 10-foot setback going to the north. I'm asking to build to the south to put it on the south lot line with zero variance. Mary and Robert Clark, they've got a 5-foot variance for their floating dock. That gives me, right now, with my existing dock and their floating dock, I have a 15-foot space to try and turn 26-foot boats in, and I can't get them in there. I haven't been able to use my lift with my big boats since they have put their floating dock in. And when we did that variance, I tried to oppose that, and you had told me that I needed to come up, turn around, and come in this way. So now that's why I'm having to redo my boathouse so I can get into it.
I remembered you.
Okay, I remember.
Yes.
I remember.
Okay.
And going north, where
you
Mr.
You already denied this one time, didn't you?
No, sir. No, I tried opposing there.
Yeah, that's right. You tried to oppose there.
Yeah,
and yours
and
was
then,
a violation
and then
already.
I rescinded, yes, sir.
Yeah, you rescinded.
No, this dock is not in violation at all. I've got 13 feet on both sides,
So on each side, I'm 3 foot in.
You had an issue. I remember having something up.
I was just trying to oppose theirs.
Yeah.
And then I rescinded it. And at that point, you know, when you told me to come up, turn around, and come back in the other direction, that's what I'm trying to do now. I have a boathouse that I can't use with any of my larger boats. And like I said, Mr. Larson's right here. The 10 foot is the back of the tape measure. That gives him almost 3 foot if you come perpendicular with the canal from his outside pole. He's got 3 foot to where my poles are going to be. So that dock, my new boathouse, is not encroaching him to the north in any manner. The houses, or the boat lift I'm asking to build is going to be to the south.
Right now, is he able to pull up and dock on that?
Yes, sir.
When you build that, he ain't going to be able to dock there anymore.
Yes, he can still come in there.
On 3 foot? You said it's going to be 3 foot apart.
No, it's not. He's across the canal from me.
Okay.
Where his poles come in a straight line.
Right.
On my side of the canal, if you made a straight line with my poles, there would be a 3 foot space. So it's not changing. I'm not coming this way to where my outside pole is going to stop him from turning in. I'm still going to be 3 foot to the south of Mr. Larson's. And then with the width, when it's going to be built, you know, as long as we get approval with the permits and everything, there will still be 24 foot in between my new one and Mr. Melton's, the overhang of his. Because Jonathan with J&C Marine told me that per the rule of the canal, me allowing 25%, I'm allowed to, by that rule, have 18 foot 9 inches out into that canal. But if I do that, that's going to make the width of the canal with the existing docks less than 24 feet. And Jonathan told me that he won't build it that way because he can't get his barge through. So we're going to shorten it back to 16 feet so Jonathan still has enough room to get his 24-foot barge through.
Okay. Here's what I'd like to do. Y'all got to live around each other, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Fortunately, that I'm not rich enough to live down there, so I ain't got to worry about living down there. But here's what I want to do. I'd like for you, Mr. William.
Yes, sir.
James, Mr. Robert, and the other Mr. Roberts.
Yes, sir.
And myself or Leon, one of the two, go down there and look at this, and y'all try to come up with a happy medium that everybody's happy without.
I mean, I'm conceding 2.5 feet of what I'm allotted, so I don't see how I can give much more.
I don't see how I can vote to approve without y'all coming up to
or per the code or whatever it's called. I'm allowed 25% of the canal to build out into, and I'm conceding.
And once again, we're off topic as far as what Mr. Petition is for for the side setback. And we just heard you say that allowing a side setback hurts you by cutting it down to a 5 foot, but yet you're going zero on both ends.
No, ma'am. I'm only trying to go zero on the south end where Mr. and Mrs. Clark put their floating dock in. I can no longer get my boats into my boat lift.
I'm still trying to figure that out. We passed the variance for them putting a floating block to stop you from going in your boat out.
Yes, sir. Mr. Hatch told me that
how
maybe
did we
I
do
should.
That?
Now, the petition doesn't say south side only, gentlemen. Just FYI. If you approve it as written, it would allow both sides. I just looked at his petition. It doesn't say south side.
On my application that I turned into the county, the application states to the south side. When they typed it up and, I guess, submitted it to whoever, that's where it says both sides. But my application just asked for a zero setback on the south side. But back to your statement, when their floating dock was put in, you know, that's when Mr. Hatch told me that maybe I should go up the canal, turn around, and come into my boat lift the opposite direction if I couldn't make it in that side. That's what I'm trying to do now.
Well, I feel like it with Leon. This is me personally. We'll try to help you do whatever. I don't know how we pass something to call somebody else an inconvenience to start with. I don't recall that.
Yes, sir.
If that literally shuts you down from going in your boathouse, that shouldn't happen.
That meeting was April 20th of last year.
So are we tabling this?
Yeah, motion to table.
We got a motion to table Mr. Hatch, second Mr.
Osteen, all in favor?
We'll set, we're going to try to set something up.
Figure out something we'll be showing you mom.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, Mr. James.
Okay. That boathouse that he has there, he has never used that boathouse. He bought that piece of property, and that boathouse was there from, it's been there 20 years. He has never used that boathouse. Never hung a boat in that boathouse.
Well, let's all meet down there and look at
this and see if we can come up. You know, what I'm saying is, he's never hung a boat in that boathouse whatsoever.
Mr. Hatch said that y'all going to all meet up down there.
That's fine.
And look at it.
See if we can come up with a solution and make everybody happy.
That'll work.
Does that work for you?
Does that work for you, Mr. Rowe? That'll be fine with me.
Okay. And you're good with that?
Yes, sir.
Thank y'all.
And just because somebody hasn't used their property, they don't have the right to use it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. A petition by Timothy Renfro, located on the property described as follows, Butte County Parcel 1913-2994-0002-1970-111 Southeast 241 Street, Old Town, Florida, 32680, request a variance for the reduction of side setbacks from 10 feet to 0 feet to replace an existing dock by petition dated 12-8-2023, which is located within section 4.3.7 DSA subparagraph 1 of Butte County Land Development Regulations in accordance with section 12.3 variance procedures. Commission District 3, Mr. Mark Patch. There's no opposition called in to us, but it's not exactly a legal request. They have room on the opposite side of that boat shed. This might be one you want to table as well and look at.
Motion to table.
Second. In the table, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor.
I tell you what, there is some good news coming about the variances. Here shortly, you won't even have to appear on it. The variances will go before the special magistrate for a legal ruling, and then they'll get passed or denied there, and if they want to appeal it, it'll go to the judge. So they have legal consequences, and some of these are just a no-win situation. The rules are there, and everybody pays by them, and
well, here's some of the issues we got down there through the years. We didn't have near the people down there. This board is always way before any of us, and probably hopefully way after all of us has gone too, that we try to make everybody happy and let them use our property the best we can, but now we've just gotten so many people. The boats have got so much bigger.
Canals is insane.
Now just because it's been there 20 years don't necessarily mean it's right, or 30 years or 40 years or whatever. But it's just now the law's coming more into effect of it, and just going to be a
mess.
Fight from here on out, I believe. We've got to keep that in mind, too.
Next two petitions we have are by the same person, and it's a petition by Dale Herring, DEA, Cracker House Winery, located on the property described as follows, Dixie County Parcel Number 3615-13-00-5646-0100-522 Southeast 897 Street, Old Town, Florida, 32680, to request a special temporary use event for May 4th, 2024, from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. for a one-day festival with vendors by a petition dated in 2-7-2024, located in Environmental Sensitive Area, ESA 4, Zoning District, Commission District 2, Mr. Daniel Wood.
Any opposition?
This is out there, Ed.
I've been up there, yeah. It's good operation. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to approve.
Thanks. Second. Motion to approve, Mr. Wood, second, Mr. Stevenson,
all in
favor.
Petition by Dale Perrin, DDA, Cracker House Winery, located on the property described as follows, Dixie County Parcel Number 36-00-5646-0100. 522 Southeast 97th Street, Old Town, Florida, 32680, to request a special temporary use event December 14th, 2024, from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. for a one-day festival for vendors by petition dated 2-7-2024, which is located within the environmental sensitive area, U.S. Air Zone District, Mission District 2.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion to approve, Mr. Woods.
Second.
Mr. Osteen, all in
favor.
Mr. Hammond, I asked if we could look at the possibility of this being an auto renewal each year, kind of like we, the way we do the firework tents. And I can't grant that, but I told him that we'd see after the first festival and
yeah, from there.
Yeah.
Now, one other item before we get back into the other meeting, new direction. Mr. Gene has expressed interest in retiring. He just turned 18. And we still have to adopt our land development code. He'll see us through the end of that. But we talked about it previously, but planning services, you know, we had not renewed the contract with North Florida. We have talked about an open meeting, any direction on which we can go with this. I know Mr. Bailey had spoke that they could do the services. John spoke, said that they had the capability to do services. It was conflicts. But I don't know.
What do you want to do, Leon?
There you go. You want to put it out for bid or just leave it to your discretion?
We got them on board already.
Well, that's what I want direction on. If we have them on board already, then I'll go down that path. But I didn't want to do it without.
Are you good with it?
I'm good with it.
Travel on. We need to use them too.
So that everybody's clear, there's an opposition, John.
Right.
What about that then?
Y'all good with it, John, Gray?
Yeah, well, most of us, that way, if one has to do it, then the other one can do the other part. We can flip flop between the two.
Okay. Work together.
Thank y'all very much.
Thank you. Good neighbors. Yes. Need a motion to go back to the board.
Motion
to go back to the board. Mr. Osteen, second. Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Wow.
We got resolution 2024-12. And that was
motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Resolution 2024-13, Ms. David Bailey.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Wood.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
And then resolution 2024-14, Randolph and Cynthia Alexander.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
We table the next one. Resolution 2024-16.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Wood. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor.
And then resolution 2024-17, Mr. Herron.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Wood. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor.
That is everything I have for you to do.
All right, gentlemen. The next one, I'll get to read to you again in just a few minutes. Fortunately for y'all, it's only a few pages. What we have before us is Ordinance 2024-01, which is the short-term rental. Ordinance 2024-01, an ordinance of the Board of County Commissioners of Dixie County, Florida, establishing short-term overnight rental registration requirements for owners of short-term vacation rentals, providing for constitutionality, providing for inclusion in the Code of Law and Ordinance, and providing for an effective date. Whereas, pursuant to Chapter 125 Florida Statutes, the Board of County Commissioners may adopt ordinances and resolutions necessary to preserve the health, safety, and welfare of the residents of Dixie County, except where prohibited by law. And whereas short-term overnight rentals situated in single-family residential neighborhoods are a growing interest, and whereas these regulations do not regulate duration or frequency of rentals, but are intended to reduce the impact of transit occupants on established residential neighborhoods, and whereas the board finds that the measures required by this ordinance will help maintain residential use and enjoyment for Dixie County citizens and residents. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the Board of County Commissioners of Dixie County, Florida, that Section 1, Title, this ordinance shall be known and cited as the Dixie County Short-Term Overnight Rental Registration Ordinance. Section 2, Legislative Findings and Intent. The board hereby finds that the use of residential dwellings for short-term vacation rentals in established residential neighborhoods may create community impact, including but not limited to excessive noise, accumulation of trash, on-street parking, and diminished public safety, that to lessen these impacts and to protect the quiet enjoyment of neighboring residential units, it is necessary to have a known responsible person to contact who can be reasonably addressed issues that may arise from the use of short-term vacation rentals, many of which are owned by non-residents, and that some owners of short-term vacation rentals may not properly remit required taxes and fees. Accordingly, it is the intention of this ordinance to collect current and accurate information regarding short-term overnight vacation rental properties and to encourage the appropriate management of these facilities, or excuse me, these properties, in order to protect the general health, safety, and welfare of the residents of the visitors to Dixie County. Section 3, definition, the following words, terms, and phrases when used in this ordinance shall have the meaning set forth herein. Designated responsible party. The term designated responsible party means any person 18 years of age or older designated by the owner, tasked with responding to requests or complaints and other problems relating to or emanating from the short-term overnight rentals. An owner may retain a private property management company to serve as a designated responsible party. The designated responsible party shall be the agent of the owner authorized to accept county-issued citations and notices of violations arising from the use of short-term overnight vacation rentals. Owner. The term owner shall mean the person or entity holding legal title to the short-term overnight vacation rental property as reflected in the Dixie County Tax Collector's records. Short-term overnight rental. A short-term overnight vacation rental means the rental of any habitable space, including room, apartments, living quarters, in any residential building, including but not limited to condominiums, single-family, or multifamily homes for a term of 6 months or less, as provided in Florida Statute 125.0104, subsection 3A, as amended, unless such person rents, leases, or lets for consideration any living quarters or accommodation which are exempt to the provisions of Florida Statute Chapter 212, any owner who is not required to register with the Department of Business and Professional Regulations as defined by Florida Statute Chapter 509 is exempt from this ordinance. Section 4, short-term overnight rental requirements. Prior to commencing any short-term overnight rental, it is the affirmative duty of the owner to, 1, register with the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulations and the Florida Department of Revenue, 2, obtain a Dixie County registration certificate for each short-term overnight rental unit owned. The certificate must identify the unit's designated responsible party and current contact information. The owner must notify the county in writing of any changes in ownership or of the designated responsible party within 10 business days of such change. 3, inform all guests of the occupancy of the short-term overnight rental unit of all applicable Dixie County ordinance, including noise, parking, and garbage. 4, maintain all short-term overnight rental units under their control in compliance with the occupancy limits as specified in the Dixie County Code of Ordinance, Dixie County Land Development Code, Florida Building Code, and the Florida Fire Prevention Code. 5, be available in person or by telephone or have the designated responsible party available in person or by telephone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to address any law enforcement action, emergency response, or county ordinance violation arising from the rental of the short-term overnight vacation rental unit and be willing and able to be on-site to address violations within the next day of notification. 6, maintain the short-term overnight vacation rental unit as specified in Article 9 of the Dixie County Code of Ordinance. Section 5, penalties for violation. Any violation of this ordinance may be prosecuted and shall be punishable as provided by the Dixie County Code Enforcement Ordinance and shall be subject to a fine or civil citation up to $500 per violation per day for ongoing repeated violations. Each day of renting a short-term overnight vacation rental unit without having a valid county registration certificate issued pursuant to this ordinance shall constitute a separate and distinct violation of this ordinance. Guests and owners of short-term overnight vacation rental units may be prosecuted separately and concurrently for a violation of any Dixie County ordinance, including noise, parking, and garbage violations. Section 6, conflict and severability. In the event this ordinance conflicts with any other ordinance of Dixie County or other applicable laws, the more restrictive shall apply. If any court of competent jurisdiction hold any phase or portion of this ordinance invalid or unconstitutional, such portion shall be deemed a separate, distinct, and independent provision, and such holding shall not affect the validity of the remaining portion. Section 7, inclusion in the Code of Laws and Ordinance. The provision of this ordinance shall become and be made part of the Code of Laws and Ordinance of Dixie County, Florida. The section of the ordinance may be renumbered or relettered to accomplish such, and the word ordinance may be changed to section, article, or any other appropriate word. Ordained by the Board of County Commissioners, Dixie County, Florida, at a regular meeting of said board held on the blank day of blank 2024. Then it has Chairman Jamie Story, yes, no. Vice Chairman J.D. Stevenson, yes, no. Commissioner March Hatch, yes, no. Commissioner Daniel Wood, yes, no. Commissioner David Osteen, yes, no. Board of County Commissioners, Dixie County, Florida, signature line for Jamie Story, Chairman, and attestation by and a signature line for the Harvey Hickenbottom, Dixie County Clerk. So, gentlemen, that is your short-term vacation rental ordinance as was publicized. The publication on this ordinance was ran in February 15th, which was insufficient time for this to go forward. With the board's permission, we will have the final reading on this at the next board meeting.
Number five again.
Number five?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you want the section or you want just...
Just about the law enforcement and owner being on...
Okay, and that was under Section 4 on short-term overnight rental requirements. Be a part in this number 5, be available in person or by phone, or have the designated responsible party. Yeah, that's so that any issues that we might have, we can address.
Is that it?
That is it until later in my turn, so I'll give it back to y'all.
All right. Mr. Tony?
Name is Tony Reed, president of Dixie Bay Root. So my name is Tony Reed, president of Dixie Bay Root. Some of you may know me from Dixie County Fire Rescue, where I work on the fire truck and ambulance for the county full time. If not there, I'm at the ballpark doing what I do love to get. I've been doing it for 3 years now, just raising, bringing the kids up into there and getting something to do. Last year we had 310 kids, or I'm sorry, 300 kids last year. This year 310 kids have signed up this year. 27 teams this year, 26 last year, so we're increasing our numbers up and up. Our board at the Dixie County Babe Ruth has hit a home run. We secured our spot to host 2024 district for softball, June 7th through the 9th. Last year, Santa Fe Gainesville hosted them. They have roughly 35 to 40 teams that will be coming over here from Palatka, Gainesville, over to here. They've seen roughly 1,500 people a day in their ballpark during their event for that, each day. So our event will be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sunday's going to be a little bit less of a crowd. So they had a total of about 5,000 total the whole weekend. Now, they ran it from Thursday to Sunday. With our amount of field that we have, we're able to move it to just a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We should start seeing the influx of players and families on Thursday, June 6th. We are the largest district in the state of Florida for softball, through the whole state of Florida. So should have roughly 35 to 40 teams again, if not more, coming here with the setup that we have over here at the fields. We'll have a variety of different vendors on site for food trucks and to take the load off of our concession stand. We haven't set the price or charge yet for that. They will be licensed and insured, and I will have a folder at the ballpark with their information, just like I had before during our regular season. And I'll be following up with county manager in regards to that to make sure it's all filed properly. We'll be using the Travelers Area Pavilion for additional parking for the fans, and they'll enter in the north side of the complex. I talked to the arena. They don't have an event schedule. They have the Travelers Club rented out, and I was going to get with Ms. Helen to see if we can make contact with her to make to let them know that this event's coming up. We've done a lot of upgrades at the ballpark, including two new clay fields this year. Last year we spent $10,000 on the other fields. I just ordered five brand new pitching mounds that totaled $6,000, which was able to secure districts for future plans. So before we had two fields out there that had grass for baseball. Softball has to have flat ground. So I went in there and took out all the grass and put brand new clay down in there to be able to host more teams and the districts. That was my goal was to host districts. I threw all my marbles in the hat and said, here, let me get districts. It's going to be big for our community, big for our program itself. I have already talked to a couple of local businesses, Cypress Inn, Dixie Diner, Cottage Cafe, to let them know of the influx of people coming in, let them know that they might want to get some staff ahead of time going. We have a flyer being made right now to be handed out throughout the county, and including in Horseshoe, Suwannee, Gina, Teen Hatchie, because they're going to be getting the influx just like we are in here. Only thing that we're going to be slacking is the lodging, which we have hotels or motels here that they can stay in and lodge. I've met with the sheriff and EMS director Darren Brown briefly and told them what was coming up. I have a meeting scheduled with them first part of May to finalize all of our resources that are needed. They both said that it shouldn't be an issue. We just had to sit down and finalize it. If this goes well, I'm going to put my letter in a tent to host 2025 boys districts next year. Just the same amount of teams. Districts for girls has already talked to me about coming every other year. So if I can get the boys here every other year, we'll be in good shape. I talked to my commissioner for baseball 2 weeks ago, and he said, give me a letter, and it shouldn't be a problem us hosting it. So fingers crossed that we can get that if this one goes as planned. It is my plan to hold one-day tournaments here in town moving forward after the spring baseball softball season. If we can host districts with 45 teams, there's no reason why we can't host that single-day, one-day tournament with 20 teams up there where they're not having to pay for lodging or anything. One-day tournament up in Perry brings in $10,000 into the town just for one-day tournament. Luckily, they have hotels, but if it's one-day tournament, they're not going to be needing anything for lodging. Any questions or comments regarding districts?
Mr. Tony, so you got, this goes well, and I pray that goes well. You telling this board, we got to tighten up. Our engineers, we got to tighten up.
Yes, sir.
And get that, 23 or 28 acres?
25 acres, the Hudson Ball Field.
Hudson Ball Field. We've been talking about years.
Yep.
Yes.
Tony, what about soccer?
We need to build it. We need to build it.
And seeing how y'all can gather on this.
That's my last statement on my little
thing.
But,
I spoke to Paul about trying to arrange y'all meeting, you know, trying to work that out for all of our kids.
But we need to, we're growing. All y'all know it, we're growing. We need to figure out a way to build us a new complex for these kids out there on that 28 acres, what we got. We're working on, with 8 acres now, what could we do with 28 acres?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need it.
I saw on the hurricane, the FEMA and the debris and all that stuff, where other counties get stuff done, and we designated that out there as our debris site, and then they go it like other places, they do that, and then the FEMA go in and build these complexes, put them back in pristine state. And I thought we was lining up to try to get that done with the Hudson field out there, for them to build new facilities out there with that hurricane money.
I think they're on responsibility in doing
it. Just put it back. Just put it back the way they found it.
Yeah. Well, in other areas like Gainesville, they'll designate areas to be the debris site, and then when they get done, then they'll go in and they have to make a, you know, like I wanted to put it out there at the ball field, but they said we put it at Hudson, and they build us a new one out there, new facilities out there. And that was supposed to be done and lined up to do that. Because I brought that up when all that stuff started happening with the debris fields and all that stuff.
That was just used as a state base camp, sir, and they returned it back to its original state when they left.
But I brought y'all the information at that point that if we chose that site out there, they would go in and build all new facilities. And Dwayne told me, no, we'll use that site out there, and they can build a new facility out there because we got more land. It felt like we lost out again somehow.
I'm not familiar with that process.
Yeah.
Jody, we did bring that to the board. Unfortunately, the time frame for getting the debris up was such a short notice, we would have had the land, have to have the land cleared to be able to do that. Base camp was already set up in the cleared area. We would have had to have contracted with the logger to come in and clear the land. By the time that was done, it would not have been sufficient timing to make the other projects happen and everything else. As far as FEMA coming in and building up the new sports complex, which is what the contract company's done. Chief Garner and I have submitted, at the previous county manager's request, a appropriations request to go in and clear that and to put in a logistical staging area so that we would have somewhere to store our debris, or not debris, but our equipment during a storm and pass out those supplies. We also want to add a new building with that to use as a smaller shelter so we do not always have to close the high school every time we had that smaller storm that came in. Along with that, our intent was to utilize it in the off season when there was not a storm as some type of event area, whether it be a rodeo arena or whatever. Unfortunately, that came in from the engineers at $28 million. The representatives had already told us previously we're looking at $2 million apiece. We're not looking at $28 million. That is still there. It has not been picked up. Session closes tomorrow unless they have extended it. We did try to go that route. There may still be some options with mitigation monies. I think the board, from what I'm hearing, has some projects already we want to look at for mitigation, but there are some options there. I think the timber, I believe, is probably a pretty significant size out there. It may be such that you can have it harvested and utilize that money to put towards your sports complex or whatever you want to do there to get us started. And I'm sure there are a lot of grants, but due to the time frame of the need of an area, we were not able to make that work. We did try that. We did discuss those things. But FEMA will not come in and build us a new sports complex just because they used the land. Now, if they were to have torn down something that we had, of course, they would replace it. But hopefully that gives us some clarity. But I agree with you. I would like to see something happen.
Well, I'm bringing it to y'all. You said it in a nutshell. In lots of county, other counties, say they have an aging sports complex. They have a storm. They designated that complex as their debris thing. They go in there and put that there, and then when they come in, they build them a brand new complex.
That's the key. They
That's what I tried to get to happen out there.
If they tear it down and destroy it, then yes, sir, they will replace it. We didn't have one there. We had pine trees.
Yep. Right. Well, originally, I tried to get it out there where our one is now.
Yep.
That's when y'all chose to move it out there, and we kind of we lost out.
Anyway, yep. Good enough. All right, continue, Mr. Tony.
Before we continue, I want to thank Hutch and Daniel for bringing that back up to par out there because FEMA dang sure didn't.
Yeah,
they gave it up. All right,
nothing about districts. I'll move on to a couple other things. Luke Mills, he's the young gentleman that passed away last June in an ATV accident. He He played with us during that season, and he was going to go to All-Star. His life was lost to a accident.
His birthday was yesterday.
What we want to do with Babe Ruth is dedicate that field, his field that he played on, in honor of his name. We had a gentleman out of Seen Hatching go ahead and design this.
That looks good.
It sounds real good.
The Nukes for Luke is his slogan that he used. We want to hang it up on the ball field, on the fence, on that field number five, or number six, sorry, if it's allowed.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
Two of them, if you want to.
Other thing what we want to do is change that field number six to number 10. Number 10 was his jersey number.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. We want to do this on opening day, which is March 30th at 9 o'clock in the morning. All are welcome. All are invited. Family doesn't know about this, so if you guys know him personally, we're not going to put this up at the field until the day before. We're going to cover it up, and we're just going to take down the old number six, put number 10 up there, and then raise this up and put it up on the fence before then. Painting of the concession stand. Right now, it's got that yellowish color to it. That I don't know when it was last painted or when it was last updated. I'd like to change it to dark gray if possible, just because it hides all that the grime out there in the dirt. And it'll go good with green that's already on the roof. Patty from the inmate crew has spoken to me already, and she's ready to paint whenever we're allowed. We just got to supply the paint. I don't know how much paint that would take to do it. I have a gentleman that said he might have some paint to donate, but I don't know how much of that he has. That would be my...
Well, I'm going to say this. I'm one of five. We got an account. I'm willing to donate $100 out of my portion to go to that. I don't know what the other four wants to do, but I imagine Miss Angie can come up with $100 from me.
I can get some of mine too.
Yeah, we all do that. Not a doubt in my mind, but paint whatever you motion to paint whatever you want to paint. And if you see any weeds that need to be pulled, pull them too. Anything you see that don't change the structure and integrity of a building. Bring that before us, but anything you need to do, I'd make it look better.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
I skipped over that part of my district thing. That if there's any projects that come up into regard districts, to see if we can prioritize them to get them done before districts. Thank you.
And see how much it's going to cost to paint.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because from what I'm understanding, you can get $500 right here.
Okay. Thank you.
Run short, let us know, and my office will contribute $100.
Right, appreciate it. Scoreboard.
Don't miss out, Barbie.
I'm with y'all. We'll divide it.
Everybody help out.
Anybody else running in here?
Hold up a minute. I ain't running.
County High School baseball team got a new scoreboard, and they want to donate their old one to our complex. And we want to place that field number one. Only thing that we need help with is to have it installed there. Powers at the backstop already.
Hutch said he can handle that, didn't you, Hutch? Thank you, Hutch.
Pressure washing has already started at the ballpark. I went out there yesterday. He's already 50% done of it already. He came in there and sweeping through the whole complex, pressure washing it from fence to fence, dug up. Concession stand's already been done, so we're going to start on the paint next now. I would like to come back at a later date to discuss the issue of soccer and future plans. Today's not the time to talk about soccer. Their season's over. I'm ready to move on to my districts where I have to
came up.
Just sit down. I know that's my district. I know me, you, and the county manager, and the doctor. Yes. We'll get together. Let's put us to meet together.
Other than that, I have nothing else. So if there's any other questions, I can answer.
I'm about 99% sure that Trail Riders have rented that weekend.
Yes, ma'am.
I would just highly suggest that you leave parking for that event.
Yep.
I'm going to tape it off for them.
All right, I appreciate that.
And then we're going to take down, there's like a little fence area down that's old. We're going to take it down. And I talked to Mr. Paul about adding some new fence there with a gate so that way they can just enter right through there once it gets closer. I don't want to open our complex up to everybody just to be able to drive in right now.
Mm-hmm. Walk in the gate?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we still have that double gate.
Coming from the north side.
Yep. There'll still be that gate right there by the Trail Rides Club to get to the back of the complex. But
I know what you mean. That's a great, good idea.
Yeah. Anything else?
Yeah.
Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man. What's going on?
Miss Kay?
Thank you. I want to tell you that we had a tourism meeting this last week with Visit Florida. They came in, did a presentation, told us about a lot of free listings that we could have, including they had a section that is dedicated to Dixie County. She pointed out that we have 4 businesses on there right now, so it was a real eye-opening experience, and we'll send out information so that we can really start making a presence on the Visit Florida site and online, because I think this will make a big difference in our tourism. Also, we had Jesse Sampley, who is a resident here in Cross-City. He came and did a presentation on free programs for the listeners on the internet, and pointed out how important it was to have a website, and again, for our web presence to pick up. We had two weekends ago, had the video crew from Visit Florida come in for the weekend and spent 3 days running all around the county doing hours and hours of videos. They put together our videos for the grant that Visit Florida will be distributing throughout the Southeast. And hopefully at the next meeting we can set up something. They are 30-second videos. I know, you know, we all have to start thinking that people only pay attention, or attention spans are very short, so it won't take much time. But they're excellent videos, plus we get all of the 3 days' worth of footage of those videos that we can use to create more. So I'm looking forward to that. Starting a new marketing campaign. I gave you all some t-shirts that we're using for it. We're wanting to use our main focus on the campaign is Florida's Hidden Coast. No one has claimed that title, and we feel like it really fits Dixie County well. I don't know if there are any legal ways to claim a slogan like that. Maybe I'll sit down with you sometime, Hannah, and find out what we could have put
in. Now, I'm not an expert in that area, but there is. Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you. And then, let's see. Just to let you all know, we have several events coming up, and also the Tourism Board gives marketing grants to these events. So I want to let you know that we are trying to do the best we can to help get our events marketed right outside of our area. We have this weekend the Lower Suwannee
Art and Nature Festival.
I guess if I brought it in with me, I might have to hold it up. The Lower Suwannee Arts and Nature Festival down in downtown at Iowa Park. So I hope all of y'all can attend that. In early April, Horseshoe Beach is having a Shrimp Palooza event. It'll be a new event for our county. We're having the Cross City Centennial event, which will be great right here in Cross City. We need to have an event right in this area, so it'll be wonderful to have it here. May, you heard about the Cracker House Winery having an event festival there. And also there'll be another one in Horseshoe Beach in May. So we've got a lot of spring events coming up, so I hope everybody can attend those. And let's see.
Ms. Kay, one thing you may want to do, too, is for Mr. Tony is put his competition in at softball.
And right.
Yeah, and
Tony and I have talked and, you know, told him that, you know, we'll do a marketing grant for his event. Also, hopefully, if it works out with him, we've already talked about we're going to be set up at there, handing out information about things to do in Dixie.
Okay, is there a place where you got a community calendar with all these events on there?
We're working on it. Okay. Jesse is redoing our website. He's also redoing the Chamber website. He's going to come up with a community calendar that can be used for all the events, and it'll be just a great addition to it. In the meeting yesterday, we had a city-county meeting, and we were, again, kind of talking about this whole marketing, being able to market, whether we end up also possibly getting a Dixie County separate website besides the factual one, more just giving information, marketing, how beautiful it is, and nature. You know, that's another avenue that I'd like to look into also. But right at the moment, there is not a community calendar. But it is being worked on. Hopefully, it's going to be up in the next month. However, also, Dixon County Tourism Office, and we're going to call it, you know, our business office also, is almost completely finished. It looks great. The crews did a wonderful job on it. If you want to swing by, you turn at the McDonald's and head down that way. And you'll see this beautiful, bright little yellow building there that I'm really looking forward to having a place instead of in my car, carrying my stuff around. And we're also going to have a desk there for Karen for economic development. We'll have a desk there for Shelley to do our licensing, so it's going to be a multi-use building. So as soon as we get it totally finished, I'll invite all of y'all to come visit.
Cool.
Okay. Any questions for me?
Thank you for all your work you do.
And Shannon, when we sent that ordinance thing, I don't remember it being nearly that long. So I had all the legal stuff added to it.
She's had a lot of read here lately.
Ms. Sheila?
Thank you guys, she and gals. Sheila Fryer from the Dixie County Anti-Drug Coalition. Just briefly want to let you know that we'll be having the Toxic Waste Take Back tomorrow, Saturday, at two locations in Old Town and in Cross City. And we also did a little blurb. This is the time to get rid of your medications. Last year at the location here, we took up 30 pounds worth of medications. So we want people. I also gave you a little copy of How Did the Drugs Get in My Water, and we also have a study that we're working on, and I'll bring it to you next month, and it's on a symbology that's been done with the redfish and how they've determined the levels of medication is astounding that are in our fish now due to people their medication. So our emphasis will be that we will be there to take back, along with law enforcement officers, if there's narcotics involved, that we can take back old medication and properly dispose of them. We'll also be giving out this program called DETERA, which is a program that actually allows you to home destroy by putting medications into this bag, adding water, and sealing it, and once you shake it, it totally obliterates any kind of the medications that can go into normal trash. So this is a system that's set up that we have available. You are welcome to pick them up anytime at the Coalition, which is directly by the drive-through at America's Bank. We have them available for people to pick up because we don't want it into the aquifer. But this is just something, a way for us to help out in the community by destroying the medications. Also, I want to let you know that the John Williams Little Football Camp will be there providing for the youth information about basic information about drug use and knowing the law, and also this will be a way for us to do some prevention programs along with the football camp. So, that's it.
Thank you, Ms. Sheehan.
You're so welcome.
You.
Thank you all for letting us do this this year.
Mr. Copeland?
Good morning, Board. All right. Currently, we have 928 customers for active accounts, only down by one this month. We have completed 184 complete reader installations so far, and we have, this last week, we did 22 incompletes, which running cables above the ground. So we're getting there. We still have about 800 to go. Contractors to do the full installs, we're still waiting on FDEM. The purchase order is sitting in senior management's inboxes waiting for signatures. So they keep telling me a week. Well, hopefully. Next Tuesday, FDEP will be at our facility to do a sewer treatment plant inspection. We had a good one. But we've been working very hard. And Hutch, I'd like to thank you and your crew for giving us some equipment and people. That's been a very big help. The lift station, we finally got the parts to get all three pumps running. It's still a temporary system, but we got three pumps, and hopefully that's going to take care of any overflows that may happen with high water. Talking about the lift station, our FEMA rep has stated that FEMA mitigation is extremely interested in moving our lift station across the street to our property so it would be higher and away from the canal. Again, with the lift station, have not heard anything back with the inquiry about the overflow in December when we had that small flood. This last couple of weeks, we've had multiple failures of equipment. Both spray field pump motors, one had seized and the other one, the packing went out. We replaced the one motor with the backup one, and we're still waiting for the correct packing to come to fix the other one. Also, the backup generators, one for the sewer plant, one for the water plant, both have failed. One runs and doesn't transfer, the other one will not start. And when we do get it started, it will not transfer. So hopefully when I get back, Ring Power is going to be there to be repairing those. I informed our board that seats 1, 4, and 5 are up this year with the qualifying dates to be on the ballot for November. This kind of goes against the ordinance. The ordinance says 1, 3, 5. Yeah. But because we have had so many people leave the board and be appointed to the board, it screwed up the election cycle numbers. So I don't know. There's two ways to fix it. One is to amend the ordinance or have special elections after November. The easiest way would be, yes. And
you get Rhett working on that?
Yeah.
Was it Dr. China?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scott, we've had IT problems in the last couple of weeks. He's come out, helped us tremendously. I thank you. And that's all I got for everybody.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Mr. Steve. Mr. Bates.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'll start. The EOC, we've sent back sets of plans to the town because it is located within the city limits for their review. just make sure as far as our utilities and everything is squared away. We've had meetings with staff, on target for there's a toll plan that we completed first of April, and we got a bid for the USC project at that time. Old Town Fire Station, we held a pre-construction meeting on the 22nd. The contractor informed us that they were having delay issues on the building components. They're expecting those to arrive, I believe, by the 1st of June. So they'll be looking at starting construction around May 1st is when they would start. Library roof repair, we've been in conversation with Tana on agreements, construction agreements with the adjacent property owner. So she's been had a draft, we reviewed it, and provided her some comments. And she got those.
Yeah, and we'll get those to you probably this week coming up.
Okay. 95th and 97th, the CDBG project, we did our own internal 60% review, and we're addressing those. We probably would have that complete within the next 2 months.
Completed, done, completed, repaved, and all.
Well, the plans are
okay.
Going to go out to bid. Construction is going to take a little bit of time. House Chairs Road, we've got no more comments from DOT on the construction plans. However, we know that road parallels the Greenway Trail, which used to be the railroad. County Road's been there for a long time. It was a railroad. Out the state has it. It's state property, and part of that road sits in the state property now. DOT caught that. Had an issue with it. We've been in conversation with them back and forth. Our argument was that the county had prescriptive rights on it because we maintained it forever today. Right now, we think we got DOT willing to let us move ahead with it. So we're expecting to receive authorization to advertise that project by the 21st.
Of when?
Yeah. By March.
Yeah.
So if we if that goes away, then everything else is good. So. But we've made numerous discussions with the manager of that. And I think we got him in that position that because we've been there for so long that we've got rights, even though the state does technically own that property now. Sheriff's Evans Building, we sent the third draft of the floor plan back to them for their review. Once they're approved, and we can begin the design on that. So that's where I'm at on that. If it's okay, I would like to comment, gentlemen that's been here with the baseball and all that, but I would encourage you, there's a lot of communities are investing a lot in the recreational facilities. People want to come to this part of Florida for many reasons, but recreation is one of them. Youth recreation is a big thing. It's economic development. Heard the numbers about the dollars they brought in. It brings people, they said, in the seats at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
They stay in hotels and all that. TDCs and the larger communities are contributing to it, but they've seen the impact it has. Anything we can do, there are FERDAP grants. They don't pay for a whole complex. Complexes can get expensive when you do it.
Yeah.
But there's ways that you can cut those costs down if you've got, you know, resources that you can dedicate to it from your manpower and equipment side of things. It comes clearing land, leveling it out, things like that.
Okay.
We need all the help we can get from y'all. Please keep pushing.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what the county's been doing with the FERDAP grants, if they've had any recently, but we can certainly look at add those. Okay.
Look at whatever you can look at. Of course.
We need to make it happen.
Like I said, it's economic development as well. A lot of people think of it as recreation, but it's beyond that.
There you go.
And it's not just ball fields. It's rodeo arenas.
It's soccer fields.
Soccer fields.
Saw a lot of this out there. soccer fields, little league fields, Babe Ruth fields, football fields, and all.
But the big thing they do now is 6-on-6 football.
Exactly. Mr. Hatch?
Yeah.
You said anything to do with help out there?
Paying much attention, but they want to paint a building out there and they just need a hundred
water donation.
Tony back there. You're an expert.
I think I'll get Mr. Tony on there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greg. Slockler.
Other than writing $100 check, I don't have anything.
Thank you too.
How much paint do you need, Tony? How much paint do you need?
I'm not sure.
So far, we've gathered about $800.
I want to thank both of you two for helping out and getting us on the right track. And you know, I know Mr. Greg's been working with me for 3-4 years now, and we're getting a little bit closer on these two streets over here. So I'm being patient. I'm trying to keep all of them over there patient. It's coming. It's hard, but I want to tell y'all I appreciate both of y'all guys. All right, Miss Cindy.
Just remind y'all again, we are about to start this is a 7-0. It's growing. There is a little story behind it. When I first started working with county, I was handed a paper to fill out for the board, a 5-year plan for the library system. So nobody had talked to me about it, but I thought, ways to improve. It's taken some time, y'all. But we have come so far with the library. But Carol Cleveland was supposed to be in this region every second time. I told her about this idea for the festival, and she loved it. So we finally got somebody in place to follow through with it, and Jane has done a wonderful job. She gave it up. She did a fantastic job down there. We owe her a lot of things.
Just to reiterate a little bit what Miss Cindy's talking about, Miss Jane is a jewel for that library down there. Hutch, she's not afraid to send me lists, Hutch lists, and whoever else. She gets stuff done, but she's got a heart of gold. And when we had our storm down there, she opened that thing up to the community down there, and she worked above and beyond and done an excellent job. I think it's librarian of the year.
I think it's our longest running festival here in Dixie County. We're not doing the airport show this year. So I think that's
7 years. When the chamber did the Red Belly Day, that went,
Everything's
going well there at the library. Plans for summer are almost.
Yes, ma'am. That's it. Thank you, Miss Cindy, for everything you do. Mr. Freeman, are you sure? Mr. Hutch.
Good morning. You know why I'm here.
I'm a trucker. You found you one?
I got a 1988 John Deere 540 that I used. Can't even get parts for. And I found one W.C. Mills has bought across his near all of their trucks. I found one I can afford. It's a pretty nice truck. It's going to be a little bit bigger than that. I need some.
Is it in your budget?
Yes, sir.
Money there?
Yes, sir.
Motion to purchase.
Right, second. We've got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to purchase it. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Discussion.
Discussion. Discussion.
Gary, the tractor.
Mm-hmm. 03. No, I'm mad at you because he was going to sell the tractor to me. You sold it from me, huh? But that's good.
You looked at it?
Yeah.
Did you think it's worth what we
bought? It's worth more, way more than that.
Okay, he put a air conditioner in it
and fixed the front glass.
Fixed glass.
Mr. Chairman, can we make sure that part of that motion that we put the size of the tractor, the year of the tractor, and the cost, please?
Okay. Did you get all that with the motion?
I amend my motion to everything.
$45,000, it's got 10,000 hours on it.
What year is it?
03.
03. It's a 6.
John Deere.
44H.
That tractor I got sold, it ain't even got no letter on
it. Somebody's old past tense.
Not the change.
Yeah. And you got all that, right, Miss Joni? Okay. End of discussion?
No more.
All in favor?
I got one other question for you, Huck. When you leave out on the... Remember we had the flood and we had the auction? We was going to gather up money to fix some of the stuff. You had a loader out there that all it needed was a motor or something. And we were going to buy one to put in it. And we used that money to buy a culvert. But then they was the storm. When we got grant money or got stuff, they were supposed to... give us that money back where you'd have that money to fix some of that stuff at the yard.
Right.
Where are we at with that?
I don't know where the money is. I ain't got it.
I mean, you remember us doing that?
You remember we sold $53,000 of stuff.
And that money was supposed to go back to the county yard to fix existing equipment that is in good shape, just needed some stuff done to it. And you'd have a loader out there was one of the priorities. So I don't know, Paul, whoever we need to get in contact with, we need to find out where it went.
So that was prior to me getting here,
right.
So I don't know about that.
Well, all I can tell you is that money was supposed to go to the county yard to fix some tractors and some other stuff out there that we wasn't going to auction off. We had the flood. They took the money to buy culverts, but then they were supposed to get that back once we got some money for the culverts. Now, my understanding, they ain't never got it because they know that had never been fixed. I want to know where the money went.
There's got to be invoices on the culverts. And whatever was used for that money, the Stormwater Task Force should reimburse
it.
You shaking your head no, Ms. Jackson?
It was before we ever got any money for the Stormwater Task Force.
Yeah, it was before then.
Yes, it was.
When we was in a bad deal there.
Exactly. I remember it now.
You remember?
Yes, I
know
do.
He does.
I do. I do.
We all sat there and voted because we put over what we was going to sell, what we was going to keep, and we was going to take that money. Because we didn't have none of the budget to fix none of that, we were going to take that money and fix what we could of the stuff at the yard that was fixed. Correct?
So
anyway, we need to look in and see where that money's at. And maybe we can get you another loader, too. Get that other fix. That's all I got, man.
All right, any more discussion?
Yes, sir. I missed a lot of y'all's meetings last year. I understand y'all voted to buy another lawnmower and a longer trailer. We got the trailer. The officer that works the inmate jail crew, it says that we're supposed to get a new mower. So I ain't aware of it. I mean, I don't know.
We bought a new mower last year. And I'm not aware of
it. I am because... Yeah, I am because the sheriff bought a new truck. We bought the new trailer and was supposed to buy the new mower also. He was putting a third mowing crew on to help us keep all this stuff out and picked up. And we never did buy the mower, did we?
We did buy a mower, sir.
We bought one last year, beginning of the summer.
Did we buy the new mower and trailer at the same time?
No, sir.
No. I didn't think so. That was the one I'm talking about. We bought new mower through the year, about every year.
So we need to find another mower?
Yeah.
Hang on, time out. Let's finish this vote first on the front end loader. Finish discussion on the front end loader. All in favor of the front end loader?
Aye.
All right, now Hutch. Now finish the mower.
What Where would that come out of? What budget that come out of?
The more that we saw last year come out of the road department budget.
Same budget that I have my equipment budget.
From Creekside, that's where it's perfect.
This comes out of mine.
You got money in there for another mower? And the loader?
That's Paul. He just knows about it.
After we purchase the loader, I think you're going to have about $35,000 left in your machinery and equipment. And the mower we bought last year was about $12,000.
That's $35,000, that's what carries. That's got to carry us the rest of the year, right?
We're not even 6 months into this budget year, sir.
That's what I'm...
We get to October, it don't slap over. I found that out.
So you need a mower?
I know. I'll make a motion. If you need it, you got it in your budget, get it.
You got a motion, Mr. Stevenson?
Second.
For a new mower. Second, Mr. Hatch. Any discussion? All in favor? And that will leave you...
Y'all got anything else for me?
Get a deal on the mower like y'all did that loader. Later.
Thank you, Hutt.
Right.
It's good to see you up and around.
Yeah.
Missed you. Just so y'all know, he was going to send it to me for $55,000. So you go. He give you a deal, too, on top of that. How you stole it?
Now
tomorrow. No. County needs to
work. All right, Mr. Tim.
I don't really have nothing left to add on for me.
I got something.
Did you find a runoff building out there for 55A?
Yes, me and Paul. Talked about that the other day. Him and the guy at the shed company were supposed to get together. I just haven't had a chance to get back with him on it.
You got that covered?
We do have that covered, sir.
Okay. I also had a person call me about a burnout. I'm sorry, I blindsided you on it. I normally try to call you and let you know. But he did save us some money by having somebody else put a dumpster there. Didn't tie none of our stuff up and didn't cost us none to move it. I'd like to waive them fees because it is a burnout. They have a fire report. So did y'all get that handled or where are we at with that?
Well, like I said, I reiterate, like I told Paul yesterday, he called me. I didn't know nothing about it until late yesterday evening.
And I apologize. That was my fault. I should have called.
I talked to B. Beckham and told him, I called Paul and asked him, I said, what do we need to do? Because we had never run into that problem. Most of the time we go pick the burn houses up ourselves as a county.
Mm-hmm.
And I called Paul and Paul said that him being making a profit off of it, that we needed to charge him.
I felt like it was a business that brought the stuff out there and dumped it, and
so,
I told him that I felt like was needed to be charged to dump that.
On the profit that was made was the can setting, right? And his doing his work that saved us the
point. As far as I know, that's all he, you know.
What we was doing was waiving the tipping fees for the burnt house because it's a burnt house with a fire report.
The only thing I would say is if his contract included the cost for tipping, then either he has an issue with the property owner because his contract's inaccurate, but if he didn't charge because he expected the county to waive, then, you know, but if he charged that homeowner to dispose of it, then that's unjust judgment for him.
Say that again.
Yeah.
If he contracted with that property owner, if I paid him to dispose of my debris because it was going to cost him to dispose of it, and we don't charge him, then basically he just defrauded that customer and was allowed him. If he didn't charge because he anticipated it was going to be waived by the county, then that's where we're at.
If he didn't charge no tipping fees, it's not double dipping, period. Right?
Correct.
As long as, like I say, on his contract to his client, which, again, that's really not our business, but it is our business, too.
We always waive tipping fees on burnouts, and I think we should continue that. And if you want a motion on that, I'll make a motion to do that.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to waive the tipping fees on the burnout.
I'm gonna. Can I amend that motion?
Yeah.
I'm with you 100% as long as he didn't charge the customer
for
the tipping fees. If he charged them, then he don't get waived.
I agree with that too.
Yeah, see, because I don't know. I mean, all I see is a ticket comes in out there. I don't know what he charges, if he charges.
That's a simple phone call. Tim called the person that turned in the fire report to you. Did you get charged your tipping fees?
Okay.
And it's a yes or no answer.
Okay.
And if he says yes, you charge it. If he says no, you waive them.
Okay.
That's my motion.
Got a motion and then got a second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
Anything else?
I got
some. Yeah, I do. One more thing and then I'll.
Oh, you go ahead.
55A. I want me, you, and Paul to meet out there. Paul, when's a good time for you? Maybe right after the meeting sometime?
I've got another meeting scheduled at 2 o'clock, so any time between the conclusion of this meeting and 2 o'clock, sir.
Perfect.
Or after.
No, after's out for me. Yeah, after's out for me. So right after this meeting, me and you and Tim will run out there to 55A and let's look at this fence line. I want that cleaned up.
Yeah.
That's all I got, Jody. I'm sorry.
The dump at the rock pit. Mm-hmm. I've been asked about getting the fence. What we got to do to get that thing fenced in?
Congress.
Uh-huh.
That's what I run into, too, Cole. When I go to try to do these things, and I'm not throwing nobody under the bus, I get the first thing gets thrown to me. We don't have the money in the budget for that. I mean, I'm not the money keeper.
How much will it take? Will it take to fence it?
Well, I got an estimate from in town here. It was like $6,000 for a fence across the front. That's poles. That's everything.
Is it
650 foot of fence?
Chain link fence.
What?
Chain link
six foot tall.
6 foot.
Barbed wire on the
top.
Yep.
That's not bad.
Well, we got an ongoing problem there. They're going in and out of that sign all hours of the night.
Like Walmart.
Yep. And
hauling it down the street.
I agree.
Yes, they do.
It looks awful, too.
Yeah, I see it.
That's my problem with these roll-off sites. They don't hardly none have no fences.
Right.
Horseshoe has no fence.
No. I'm one up from 317.
You know, and you go down there, and night crawlers is what I call them. They go in there and they strow and strain. You know, it's like I said, it's just in and out like it's Walmart.
Yeah.
I mean, ain't no stopping them.
Yep.
I mean, I'm willing to do whatever y'all want to do.
I want to get it fenced. I mean, after it, and it looks awful the way it is, but you need to get it fenced.
And I just need a number. What can I spend on fence so I can go do my job? That's all I get it done.
Have we got anything in his budget for anything like that?
There's money in there for repair and maintenance and operating costs, but I mean, you know, we've just bought an over-the-road truck, and he's looking at purchasing a trailer, and repair and maintenance out there at solid waste and transportation is just eating it up quicker than.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's got to go buy 2 new tires for a tractor. They're almost $4,000 a piece. They're $100,000 all over right now. So we go look at a $6,000 worth of fence at one roll off, $10,000 at another one. Well, you know it, we're $50,000 deep in the fence.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to just have to do one fence at a time.
Yeah, we need to lay
a
I'll handle it. I'll go get some red top wire 4 foot fence, and I'll put one up myself across the front up. Then when y'all get money, y'all can put chain link up. We're going to get a damn fence up there. I'll do it myself.
Well, I thought that would be
Well, we can do one side at a time.
I'm done begging. Every time anybody else needs something, whether it's anybody in this courthouse or anywhere, they always find money. But when we need something for the road department, something here in the county, we broke, we never got a penny. But Darby can walk in here and need something for the sheriff's department or somebody else in one of these other offices, he'll need money to go. I'm just sorry. I mean, it's getting a little aggravated. But anyway, I'll get a fence up there.
I feel your frustration. Trust me, I do.
Hey, will it take $6,000 to fix that one out there at the First rock District pit. Rock Pit.
It ain't got to be a chain link. We put a full foot hog wire fence.
Well, but that hog wire is really like.
Well,
chain link's a little bit harder.
Not for them night crawlers.
No, they'll dig a hole up under it and crawl under it. I have spent night on top of night running people out of the dump. And it gets a little hairy at times.
Yeah. All right, what y'all want to do?
I've had them arrested. I mean, it's just been unreal.
Do y'all want to put a chain link fence, or you want to just put the 4-foot fence up?
It ain't like we look nicer. I think it would make a, you know, mm-hmm. You want to try to make the county look good, you know. I mean, that's. Mr.
Chairman, all I can say is we do have a budget in place. We try to budget year to year for a reason, and we do have repair and maintenance and operating budgeted in solid waste, and we've got 6 months left. We can use it till it's gone. When it's gone,
it's gone.
We'll come back and
do we got $6,000 to fence this one site?
Right now, is it in the budget? Yes, sir. But we've got 6 months left to go.
How much would he have left?
I would not know that until I go over to finance and
okay.
find out what expenditures have been made to date, sir.
Okay.
How many feet is it from that one fence over to the end of the gate? So that's hog wire fence on the side, right?
650 yep. foot.
Mm-hmm.
I think last time I measured it, 650 foot.
650 foot. The fence that we tied on to is only a 4-foot hog wire fence.
Okay.
So it really makes no sense to put chain link on that one stretch when you can just step over it.
What?
You buy two rolls of red top American wire fence to cover that stretch for about $600. Yeah.
Why don't we do this?
Now, was the quote for that front strip, or was it for the entire?
See, on this side, where the rock pit's at, all that is just dirt berm.
Yeah, they can
walk. There's not even a fence there. I mean,
right.
What I was going to do is run it up tied into a tree there on that berm.
Okay. Mr. Hatt's got something to say.
Why don't you and Tim get together and y'all go out there and come up with a solution and bring it back to the next board meeting? Whatever you feel, I mean, your side and Tim's. Y'all get together, work something out, bring it back. And if hog wire fence works, hog wire fence works.
I got
works.
The wire.
You'd,
and the post.
Just,
and the know-how.
Yo, you got the know-how meeting?
Mm-hmm.
The meeting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Tim. Yeah.
Hold on.
You got some wire, too.
would improving the lights at these roll-off sites help with this nightcrawler problem?
Visibility would help.
Some light? They can see better than...
Help them.
Well, what's going to help at these sites is a little bit of enforcement. Get somebody there and you make one or two cases and put them in jail, they won't be going back in there no more. It's just like it's trash on the road. Everybody says that they don't want to reduce the amount of the dump, we're going to have trash everywhere. All the other counties don't have a quarter of the dumps we got that we manage. They don't have trash on their road. It's enforcement.
Well, and then, you know, that brings up the subject of these compactors. That controls a lot of that. I mean, because most of what they hit is either the metal or they go straight to the four-yard dumpsters.
Right.
Why you would want to climb in a four-yard dumpster, I have no idea. But, I mean, if we, you know, the compactors, I think, would eliminate some of that. Like you said, you go to these other counties. A lot of these other counties has got the compactors, and their sites are clean.
Yep.
They look really nice.
Yep.
But enforcement's a lot of it, too.
Roads look nice. Their way looks nice. But,
yep. Mr. If we didn't have the metal at all these sites for people to come in and pillage, they wouldn't have a reason to go into the site.
Yeah, that's true. And the thing about it is, I mean, that brings up another subject. You know, you keep on, you're going to get a lawsuit after a while because one of them's going to go in there and one of them's going to get hurt.
Yep.
That's why I need
fence.
The
county's going to pay me some money.
At least if you got the fence up, you can say there's a fence and it's posted.
Yeah.
Yep.
Any wide open. And I've been begging y'all to put all that metal out there at your site and get it out of these other sites.
Tim, all of them are posted, correct? You got posted signs up, no trespassing after hours?
They posted with a super highway going right through the trees to the dump.
I know that, but as long as, from some legality, give me something to at least fight for, you know. Give me a sign that says you ain't allowed to be there.
I mean, I think to answer your question, I think it would help some.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, enforcement, they need a lot of electrified fence.
Yeah,
I'd love y'all to do that.
I've called in a lot of them and had a lot of them arrested with warrants and stuff, and that really helped. If any of the citizens see somebody digging in the trash or anything like that, call the sheriff's office because they are trespassing. And a lot of them does have warrants, and a lot of them will have drugs on them, and they will come get them.
Well, we caught one at 55A here a while back, and I don't even think ink can dry it on paper good. She was out. She was,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that's...
Mm-hmm. Well, the last two that I called upon, and I've seen them down there, they both have warrants from other counties, and it works. If you call in there, they'll come get them. Mm-hmm. Even though another county might, another county come got them, and they have to spend time down there. They just... So you get as many times going, then they'll send them somewhere else.
Yep.
Anybody else? Yep. Thank you, Mr. Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
Mr. Wright?
So I don't think Steve cares who puts the fence up, but you appreciate it.
It's like him talking.
How are y'all
coming on streamlining that to get it to where we can go in and clean that up by lien?
That's what I got to talk about today. So, a couple of things. You're going to see in the paper about us advertising for the floodplain ordinance. It'll be ready at the next meeting. I wasn't initially going to tackle the floodplain ordinance, but because of everything, the way it worked out, it forced us to do that. And in doing so, you're going to see in there where it talks about appealing some technical amendments to the Florida Building Code. I don't know who done it. I'm not sure why, but the county set themselves up basically an invitation to get wrote up. They adopted some things that didn't need to be in there. It's higher standards. Case in point, it was specific in the ordinance that they couldn't air condition the space below the house. Like if you got a storage space down there, then you couldn't put an air conditioner down there. And so it gave an opportunity for FEMA to just come along there. If there was a window unit hanging out the side of the bottom of the house, they would just automatically write us up for that. There were several items in there that I told them we did not wish to keep. They were higher standards, and I don't really know how they snuck that in there on you, but it won't be in there. My whole argument on that is if somebody wants to air condition their car or their boat, that's their business. They're legally allowed to do that. And FEMA's argument is that it makes it too tempting for them to convert that space. That's not, they're wrong people. If they create a violation, that's their violation. I don't think we should restrict everybody else's freedoms just because someone might do something they're not supposed to. So,
exactly.
You'll see that in there. If you have any questions about it, I'll go over it with you. It'll make it easier for me in some of these audits that they do, and it wasn't necessary. So we did get that. Ms. Chaney reviewed it. It's out for advertisement. It'll be the first reading will be at the next meeting. FDM approved it, so be in compliance there. Once we get the floodplain ordinance adopted, we then can move to adopting the LDRs and getting them back, which we have code enforcement now. That's going to be going to bring it up right behind code enforcement. I mean, floodplain will be code enforcement next. Brings me to another ordinance. In 2007, the county adopted a wind speed ordinance. And I had heard different people call before, and they said, hey, I need to check this. I wasn't quite sure where they were pulling this information from, but then I looked. The ordinance that you have on record is actually in direct conflict with the Florida Building Code. So it needs to be repealed, and we're working on bringing that before you as well.
the burnout issue that you talked about previously, that's always come up, and we've always had to bring it up for, you know, fees to be waived, for permitting, stuff like that. If you had a fire report, I could clean all that up. We could just put it in our rule book if that's what you'd like for me to do. If it's their primary residence or if they're their house and they have a fire report, and, you know, if that's something you'd like to see me do,
mm-hmm.
I could put that in there.
Do it.
Yeah. Y'all seen that we issued the permit for the dollar store. They started their construction out there and moved forward on it. They put a lot of effort into that building. They upgraded the exterior appearance of it to make it look better than some of the buildings that they have. And to my knowledge, that here shortly you'll see them and I are working at the Higginbottom store because they're getting ready to demo that building out there and get it ready. The other item that we have is we hired Mr. David Lake to be a field inspector for us. You probably see him out and about. I brought Jason inside. I started teaching him some of the stuff inside. He's also going to be covering in the field as well when we get a surplus of inspections to do. We're outfitting the other truck with Wi-Fi. We was going to do it right after the storm hit. We never got around to it. But you'll see them both in the field. I think it's going to work very well. We moved the time over to where Miss Julie was, and he's helping more with zoning. I'm telling you, the building department is some of the best it's ever been, and I'm excited for where we're headed. Other than that, Mr. Mark, happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
And that's all I got, unless y'all got anything else for me.
You're going to go over that.
Leon, I got one.
Not today.
Well, what are they doing right out here outside of town? I've had a couple.
Everybody's asked about it, and all we know is that they're cutting trees, and we don't have a tree ordinance, so it doesn't bother me.
Trees. I was wondering what they were doing.
But
I just got a text on it right now.
We put that in our floodplain ordinance too, small scale exemptions, because they use the term any development in a flood hazard area. Means that if you do anything, they expect you to give a permit. And one of the write-ups that we had gotten previously in the county is that somebody had cleared some trees on their property and they wanted to see a permit for it. And I argued with them. I said, we will never issue a permit if somebody's cutting a tree. And
I wouldn't ask them either.
And so I actually found that we could write it into our ordinance. And so it's actually an exempt item for residential single families now. This is...
Alachua County does have that in.
Oh, I know, but I don't wish to be like Alachua.
Oh, no.
I've been dealing with issues with them for years.
There are several other items that you'll see. I can talk to you individually. It helps Swanee because some of the items that were exempt through the DEP, that it was redundant that they had to go and get the exemption paperwork for them to us because it was in the ordinance. We wrote it in as exempt items. That they just permit it through locally, and we retain the records on that. I think you'll be very happy on that ordinance when it comes up. I like it.
Good deal.
Do you have any other questions for me?
No, sir. Thank you, Mr. Leon.
You're welcome.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I only have one quick item that I've got.
Okay.
On the soil stuff. This week, we were, Friday, we were notified that we would be inspected by the Department of Health, EMS Division. They manage our department. They inspect our trucks, our records, our personnel files, our licensing, insurance, so on and so forth. They have the ability at a moment's notice, if we're not correct, to shut the department down. We spent about 4 hours with the inspector. They left with no deficiencies found. They were very happy, very complimentary of the service and the situation. They went through our trucks. They reviewed licenses on our staff that were on duty. Everything that they have to look at, went through about 10 personnel files. They spent quite a while with us, treated us very well, and we've done really good on that.
Got an A.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It happens about every 2 to 3 years. There's no set time. We had one that's probably been 2 years, 3 years. And I talked to the inspector a few months ago. He said, we'll come out and look. He's a new inspector. He changed roles. He said it'll be easy, and he was right. It was not that. So we'll let y'all know that we did pass that, and then she's going to have some information on the hurricane. And I think he also has a little bit of information that just came in on a press release that y'all are going to be very happy with.
Okay.
HMDP match project we talked about last time. It is in the appropriations bill to be waived. There's $33 million sitting in that governor's budget to waive the all for financially constrained counties, all of their HMDP match. As long as that does not get vetoed, we will not have a match. That brings our HMGP project time frame, or excuse me, amounts from $8.2 million to roughly about $10.5 million that we can apply for.
Wonderful.
The following is a list of projects that we have done or we have allocated right now. With, these are fluid projects. If something comes up, we won't change. It doesn't matter on our end. Backup generator for here at the courthouse. There's four roads in Suwannee, Southeast 205, Southeast 218, Southeast 209, and Southeast 228 Street. Looking at raising those roads. We've got a couple of quotes on those. Enlarging the canal system and replacing some of the culverts and box culverts through the town of Old Town area so we don't have the flooding issue like we did before. Mm-hmm. We've got some seawalls on the riverside, 349 South, and a community-wide warning system, which will do our radios, public safety radio system. Whether we go with slurs or we keep this one as a, no matter what, we have to keep a redundant system. So if we upgrade the system that we have right now, we can use it as a primary or a redundant system. That keeps the school board on it, the road department, and everything else on that system. The state has provided us a contractor, Tidal Basin, to assist us with those projects free of charge. They do all of our technical writing and technical assistance on any projects that we provide them to do. Like I said, the name of that company is Tidal Basin. That is for any HMGP project throughout the state. So if Suwannee County or whatever else, the state has provided those individuals. All the PWs are moving forward. I just, Mr. Davis, just on your behalf for Cow Creek, it's the most recent one I just approved. It moved to the next step. As of yesterday morning, I sent that request in stating that everything we asked them to do was storm-related, that we're not looking at any federal or falsifying any federal reports, so I don't go to federal time. So I agree to all that, and like I said, that is just the undermining of that bridge. That is not replacing of the bridge or doing anything topside to that bridge.
Right.
It is just the undermining of that bridge.
If we get the undermining of the bridge and all that, can we open it back up?
Yes, sir. Okay. Let me rephrase that. As long as DOT and the engineers say it's approved, we can open it up. But it's DOT is the one that told us to shut it down due to the undermining. Mm-hmm. So right now it is shut down until we repair the undermining. The email that Chief Brown was just speaking about, most of y'all know there was $50 million given to this area that was affected by Hurricane Idalia. I received an email while we were in this meeting. I'm going to go ahead and read it to you guys. That the governor awarded $66 million to Hurricane Idalia impacted communities. We, at Dixie County, received $10.15 million. So that's going to handle horseshoe dredging, all the dredging in Suwannee, the two fire stations we've got, and the Shore Island Beach renourishment and taking that to a engineered beach. Now, once that gets started, the stuff with Shore and everything to that nature, we can start looking at redoing the pavilions. We can start looking at more stuff because we couldn't do anything because we didn't know how much beach sand. It's not dirt, it's beach sand that we're going to be bringing in and where that water line is going to be. Now that we've received this press conference notification, hopefully we'll receive the notice of fundings and everything to start those projects. When those come about, I'll be getting with our engineers and getting to see if they can do beach engineering or if I have to go to a specialist. I don't know if they can handle that or if they're going to recommend me going to a beach specialist. We'll jump that hurdle when we get there. So
one thing, Chief, I didn't hear you mentioned in Horseshoe Park. Was that also?
Cause no, that's being done by, under PW's project worksheet.
Okay.
These are
different.
Items that are not allocated for project worksheets.
Okay.
So that's the raising of the roads, those four roads, the lap funding was for the dredging in Swanee. I believe it was $500,000-something.
Horseshoe, I think,
$2.5 million for Horseshoe, and that is just the canals.
Okay.
That is not the main canal, or main channels, or anything else. That is just the canals that we put forward. The inner canals, I think the rim canal. Correct? Is that what we put in for?
That is correct.
And then moving the fire station out of the town of Horseshoe in the surge zone, out of that area, probably up north of the water tower. And they're replacing the station 3 at 349-351 and turning the Sherwood Island from a natural beach to an engineered beach. So next storm we have, not when, but when we do have a next storm and that surge goes away and that sand goes away, FEMA will write the PW and we can replace that
sand.
Thanks for clarifying that for me.
I got a question for
yes,
you, Richard.
Okay.
My dad recently passed, but he had a couple of times we had got grant money with his part of the pavilions was on his property now.
Yes, sir.
And we had got grant money. We were getting some grants. They were going to buy that from him. And then somebody else had a greater deal down south or whatever took the grant money from him. On this money you got now, I mean, ain't talking about it, but entertaining that if she wants to sell that, is there anything in there for y'all could purchase that and
yes,
make
sir.
That a whole part?
Yes, sir. Okay. This was just for the beach renourishment.
But we also, Dwayne talked about using some of that BP money to purchase that. If I remember right, we had some of that. We're going to do that. But anyway, to try to make that whole, we need to figure out how we can do that. Or I need to talk to our chief.
Right now, when it comes down to the engineering of that beach and everything else, all the pavilions will be on county property because they will have
to do a survey.
Our engineers will have to go in and put a footprint saying, okay, this is where this pavilion goes, this is where this one goes, and they will completely blueprint and engineer that whole beach. And that, let me rephrase, not only the beach, but the park also. And along with that, one thing real quick, Aaron, we need to look into a multi-year plan to have that beach surveyed at least every 24 months, every 2 years, so that when the high water comes in and washes half inch, quarter inch of sand out or brings a foot of dirt in, that we know what's going on, which it's not one of these things, once you do it, you're good for 10 years.
No, it's going to
so I don't know what that charge is going to be, but that's going to be on to the county to do those inspections on that. So
where is that property at? I wasn't aware that he had some there.
The last pavilion's on this side, those two?
Oh, no.
His property line goes through
and it goes all the way across that side. It goes this way.
We have another project and we're trying to do something with it. I don't want to talk deeply about it yet, but there may be some potential there if it's between the park and the boat ramp on that side.
Yes.
And does it come out through the water?
Yep. Yeah, it goes. Okay. It's those right. He had the county hired Mr. Jones to go get a estimate value on it, I think, what it was.
I won't make any promises, but there's
but anyway, it's still there. It will be an asset to the county if we can work out a way.
We're looking at
to get that.
Another avenue to do some stuff.
I won't put it in a trailer park. I know they rent some RVs.
Last thing is there is some potential for some strong thunderstorms tomorrow night and into Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. So for the folks doing youth hunts, make sure you bring your rain jackets.
Oh.
So we're looking at about 1 to 2 inches of rain. So, anything else? Y'all have anything for us? Yes, sir.
You got the inner canals, right?
Yes, sir.
Magrib Pass, not Alligator Pass.
What are we looking at?
Those are not. We don't own those, so we cannot do those.
Where are we at?
That is, we met with Cap Cammett's office, and they are working on your pass. And to that nature, I also met with some FEMA individuals on the latter part of February to entertain the idea with Army Corps, where they can do a little bit of stuff with McGirt Pass. They said as long as it was a shovel-ready project at one point in time, there should not be an issue with trying to push that forward. But they had to get stuff on their end situated. I told them that it was a shovel-ready project, but then we needed to do economic studies and some other studies, and then the money had left the region, went down south, went somewhere else, New York, wherever it went, who knows, who cares, but it left our region. And she said, the FEMA folks said that they were going to look into that. If it was a shovel-ready project, which means the plans were written up and everything was set ready to go, that it should not be an issue to start pushing that ball up the hill.
We spoke directly to Representative Kim about that, as well as I think three of her aides there. They seem to be very deeply moving in that direction, but I don't know the extent of it. They were very much aware of it, and they were working that way, they said. So hopefully that conversation, all of y'all's has been able to help.
Well, when's our meeting with Army Corps? They canceled one time. You got another one?
It's set for the 12th and 11th o'clock.
The only thing we cannot do, ladies and gentlemen, keep this in mind. If we do not own it, we can't provide any funds to it. That's why the inner canals, where we have maintenance, so we have done those canals, same in Horseshoe, we have those agreements, and we technically own them due to maintenance. McGirt Pass, Alligator Pass, and whatever other pass we have, that's all federal land, federal waters. We now, Mark, if you want to take ownership of it and start working
don't
that
come route, down by to take ownership of
but
it.
But that's where we can go with. But until then, we cannot write a PW. We can't do anything with those passes if the county doesn't own them. So,
what about our docks down there at the community building that got blowed over at Miss Chris Barber's place?
They're in the process with that property and PW's written.
Ray Trucks, Crusty Culver's
down there about condos, all that.
Didn't know anything about those. These are projects, gentlemen, that we've asked y'all to bring projects to us, and we don't know about them until these board meetings. So.
We've talked about the culverts. That's just what I've some a dozen times at the same spot.
Yeah. Y'all communicate?
Hutch may go down there on stuff. But I don't know what he does. What projects are done. Like we said before, if y'all bring projects to us, we will present them. I have no problem presenting them to the state and feds to get done. But if I don't know about them, I can't do it.
This community building down there, where are we at with it?
It's still in limbo. It's getting to the point where the reason it's in limbo is we don't own the land. The school board owns the land. And it's damaged more than 50%. Mm-hmm. So are we going to, we need to figure out, are we going to move the building? We're going to try to raise the building up to 18 feet, whatever it's got to be up there. And then are we going to be able to do that on non-county owned property?
We're not going to do it there for sure.
So that's something we need to look at.
Can that?
For that, or we just take it what insurance?
It depends on how it's written and everything, what the amounts are.
I have not given us an answer yet.
They have not given us an answer on what they're doing because of the fact that
one project at a time, and they have not given us the answer as to what they will do, how much they
do.
That's what he was talking about with the Cow Creek Bridge.
Okay.
They basically said, yes, we agree all this needs to be done. Now it's moving to the coast side of it. That'll come back to us, and once we get those things worked out, they'll tell us, this is how much we're going to give you for the project, and then that's going to be good. We haven't gotten those actions to see each one of these projects. I go down to pavilions at the parks.
The barbecue grills, the trash cans.
They're all individual projects. And until FEMA says, we agree that
that drill costs $10 million and we'll give you the money for it, we can't move it. It's in their hands, and as they come up with questions, Chief Garner and them are continually going, checking, fixing, and we just can't, we can't push FEMA no further than we are.
And here's
that's where we're waiting at.
And here's the other thing with that, with the increase, if they come back and say, okay, fair market value is 300, I'm using round numbers, so please don't quote me on these, if it's $300,000 to repair or move this building, and the insurance company paid us $350,000 for the building, FEMA's not going to do anything. His insurance company made it whole. You see where that's at? But if they come in and say, okay, it's $500,000 to move the building and set it up and everything else, and insurance company come in and paid us $300,000 for it,
that gives the other two.
The $200,000 will come out of FEMA to make it whole, minus our 12.5%. And,
okay.
And as long as everything, the insurance and all line up.
Because I have that amount.
Yes, I've got that amount, and I've got those checks where they're sitting, that money's sitting in that account,
just
where
to,
you said it.
Just to clarify something, Chief Garner, if we've already got the insurance money and the settlement for that, if we decided that we wanted to go ahead and move on that, we would forfeit any
potential
funding from FEMA.
Correct.
Additional.
So
we decided to do something, we could.
Yeah, we can definitely do it since we've gotten the
336,000. But I don't believe they've cut the check for that yet.
Well, whatever. There's a
there for us.
Yes.
They're waiting on
so that's a turnkey project. That's not a turnkey project anymore.
Right.
I don't understand
exactly.
The insurance.
So we still have to wait on that and see what.
If we don't want to,
you don't want to forfeit anything.
Forfeit any FEMA funds, we can go ahead and start moving forward on that project right now.
The insurance funds will be held back. If I understand that.
Okay.
But we're stuck with that $330,000, whatever the insurance company has given us. That's what we're stuck with. We can't go to FEMA and say, hey, it's now costing us $400,000. Please give us the other $75,000, whatever it is.
They'd make their mind up and help us and let's get it.
It's a slow process. Anything else?
No, I've said enough.
Thank you, sir.
You.
Mr. Scott. Yes. Go ahead
and step
out. Okay. You got anything for him or not? Okay. All right. Miss Gail, not here. Miss Hall is not here. Miss Angie, you got anything?
Just a couple things. Just wanted to let you know. Thursday, March the 14th, we have our wellness health screening at the Trail Riders from 8:30 a.m. till 4 p.m. I've sent emails to everybody that has emails, so just make sure your employees that have our health insurance get registered for a time for that. This is very important for our health insurance rates. We're trying to beat the numbers that we beat last year. We will provide snacks and a $25 Walmart gift card. So department heads, if you'll make sure your employees are aware of this, and there's a link on what I sent you. They need to go on that to register. They don't have to. They prefer it. But any help or any questions, I just can't make the appointment for them. Second, I have a dollar amount for the wrecked dump truck that has been totaled out, $76,189 that insurance is going to pay us for that. I've got to find the title and get the letter of authorization signed giving me authority to do that for Florida League of Cities. I need the board's approval to get this done.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Osteen. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's all I have, unless you have something for me.
Thank you, ma'am.
How long before you get this $76,000?
When they get the title.
Hutch has plenty of $76,000 dump truck.
You better
get a 76 dump truck.
Mr. Paul?
Board, if you'll turn to your manager's report, we have quite a few action items to start with. So,
number one, I would request board approval of the Powell and Jones CPA contract renewal for FY 2023-2024 in the amount of $84,500.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor. Discussion.
Powell and Jones, they do our auditing stuff. Are you happy with them, Ms. Jackie? Okay.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Two, we request board approval of the DSI contract amendment number two for ARPA, which reflects the 10% allowable for administrative services for an increased amount of $6,890.30, which brings the total DSI contract amount to $326,825.30.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Osteen. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Number three, we request board approval of the FDOT new hangar building amendment number one, additional funding amount of $551,620.
Motion. Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Thank you.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Number four, we request board approval of the DEP 22PLN32 vulnerability assessment amendment number one. It's updates to the contract verbiage and attachments, and this is to be signed electronically by the chairman.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Stevenson. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Number five, we request board approval of the Dixie County Artificial Reef Enhancement Application in the amount of $120,000.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Wood. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Number six, request board approval for the ship down payment assistance for Jordan Pickard in the amount of $20,000.
Motion. Motion, second. Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
Number seven, request board approval for the ship rehab reimbursement for Patricia Dillon in the amount of $14,999.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Number eight, request board approval for the ship release of lien for Peggy Valentine in the amount of $1,500.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Number nine, request board approval for the release of lien for Peggy Valentine on parcel 03121214380000A. 0170 in the amount of
$28,446.75. Motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Number 10, request board approval for the purchase of a 45,000-pound trailer from Ford Trailer in Old Town in the amount of $28,500, and this is based off of the Stormwater Task Force recommendation.
Motion.
Using the ARPA money. Second. That has been approved.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
Number 11, request board approval for the purchase of a Shurex 35-inch vertical mulching head to fit the new excavator from Quality Equipment and Parts in the amount of $31,500, and this is based off of
motion.
Stormwater Task Force recommendation.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Number 12, request board approval to allocate the 2022-2023 opioid settlement disbursements received in the amount of $70,633.07 to EMS to be used for the community paramedicine program.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Action items and... I have some information on the Freeman House project down in the Gina area that I need to bring you gentlemen up to speed with. Okay, thank you for that. some of you may be familiar with that project down in Gina. It actually started back in around 2014. and it was an interview that was entered in between the, MOA, Memorandum of Agreement, that was entered in between Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission and Dixon County. And what I would like to turn your attention to, Board, is on page 2. It lays out the responsibilities of the county. I've actually been in contact with Ms. Rachel Penrod, who is now taking over this project for SOGC. They are wanting to move forward with that project. They said they're willing to take on the project if the board is not willing to continue on with this MOU, or MLA, I'm sorry. So I just wanted the board to be aware of what our responsibilities would be if we continued on in this. And if you'll look at that, I've highlighted some of the things. We'll start with number one. It will be for the county to provide the regular ground maintenance, including the mowing, road maintenance, and trash removal along the entrance and around the house and all other buildings and all. We would have to provide the water, the sewer, and the electric utilities. We would have to provide law enforcement patrols and have a host caretaker on site. We would have to make the Freeman property available for public access for events by providing access and services necessary to support those events. So that could be a very, very wide range depending on what the event is and what services we would have to provide. So I just wanted to make the county aware that if we continue on with this, this is what our responsibilities would be. But the state has indicated that they will move forward with this project, even if the county decides not to go forward.
Well, they do own the whole property, everything.
They own the property, yes, sir, and they own the property.
They're ready to proceed.
So I need board direction, or just allow the state to pick it up and they got it.
Let them have.
Their budget's a lot bigger than ours, and
yep.
Us to do it.
I think my recommendation would be that FWC handle it.
And we had.
I was involved when we initially, 14 years ago, received this possible program with the Freedman House. And the Freedman House is a beautiful open-air house that's right on the water in Gina. And the hopes were is to make it into a nice either the history of the working community, the seafood community in those areas, a nature center, something for people to come in and really, you know, enjoy the building itself, plus have some events in there, you know, if we could and such like that. That vision is still wonderful, but from the list of the things that, you know, we have to provide, it's a lot. Now, I did talk to, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Also, in talking to Miss Rachel, you know, I asked her what her plans were. She said they really needed a place for their biological team to stay. I don't know if they're going to actually house them there or what they're doing, but it would no longer be an open to the public unless it was maybe, you know, they did something twice a year. It wouldn't be a center like they... excuse me, have in Cedar Key, where it's a, you know, working place that ISIS has open to the public.
So we'd be paying all that for them.
Hmm?
We'd be paying and taking care of it for them.
Well, they wouldn't do their biological program.
We keep it, they ain't going to be doing the biological
program. Yeah, okay. This would be what they will use
That property was donated to keep it as what you were talking about originally, what it was donated for. In my opinion, we need to keep it at that at all costs if we can, because that's what it was meant to be used as, not a...
I know the county has spent a lot of money down there.
A hotel for the FWC.
And maybe it gets vandalized quite often.
Right. Well, that's what, you know, Paul said. That's
a lot of upkeep.
Yeah, there's a lot of upkeep. If we did put it into a center, then we probably would need to have someone there full time. We probably need to improve the parking. I mean, I see both sides of it, you know, but I just wanted to...
But if they get it, it's not going to be open to the public no more.
That's what she told me this morning. Did she tell you?
In this tent, when the property was donated, that
their
was...
property belongs to the state.
It don't belong to us. It's doing maintenance.
But it was donated for a certain use, am I correct?
That's the way I remember. It was donated to the FWC, but with the partnership that we would try to make it into some type of a public park. But, again, that was 14 years ago. I know our vision, but I'm not sure how the writing went or anything.
They need to reach a lot of those stuff has got clauses in there. If it's not used for the intended use, then it reverts back to the families and stuff like that. Might want to check on some of that garbage.
Like I say, sir, it's the state of Florida.
We just turn it over to the state, let them have
we,
it.
We don't own it.
It's our property. It's the state of Florida.
Yeah.
They were just 14
I didn't think something that's donated for one thing and then turn around being used for something else.
No.
It's
not ours.
It's not ours at all.
If we continue on with this, that we would be responsible for all the costs associated with
it. How did we get involved in it to start with?
If it was donated to the state.
It was donated to the, again... I don't know how to
believe
it. Marketing, I don't have to believe
it. I haven't researched any of it, so I don't
want to. Partner within to help provide these services for it to be used for those purposes. They were just asking us to pay the
foot the bills.
And they wanted us to pay everything.
Provide a caretaker down there so they could run their operation.
What, in your discussion with her,
mine was very brief, so.
Well, are they still going to do the same thing with or without us? That was your...
It's their property. They're going to continue on with what they want to use it for.
Now,
my...
So he with them.
For providing some things.
I'm for letting FWC assume it. They have a lot bigger budget than we have.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Yeah, this is informational items, unless you want it voted on.
I need the board to tell me if they want to continue on with this memorandum of agreement, or do you want to...
Let them have it all.
We got...
You got a motion to let them have it, correct?
They have a bigger budget than ours, maybe.
We motion Mr. Osteen to let them have it back, and they can cover all the... cost of it.
It's their property anyway. They own it.
We got a motion.
Second.
We got a second. Mr. Wood, discussion.
Yeah, I'm looking at this agreement, gentlemen, just briefly, and I apologize. I hadn't had a chance to look at it earlier and get any additional information. But it looks like under this agreement that we were maintaining a long-term sublease of the property for environmental education and ecotourism activity. Again, based on initial reading, it would appear that under this memorandum of agreement that we would hold a long-term sublease. And so that being said, as the leaseor of this property under this sublease, then they couldn't proceed with their bioengineering or whatever it is they're wanting to do down there as long as we were the leaseor. Now, again, that is reading this from 14 years ago, and I got it the same time y'all did, so.
Ms. Cheney, you need to do some more research on this.
Then it's informational. If we can, I don't know what kind of turnaround they give Paul, but.
We just have to let them know whether we want to continue on with this in the world.
Right. And I understand, you know, I totally understand, you know, the responsibility of the county here is quite expensive undertaking for us.
And there's a 90-day termination from either party that we just have to provide, say, here's our 90 days.
Right. And it was signed February 15th.
All right, we got a motion and a second. We're in discussion.
Mm-hmm. The last time it's been used for anything beneficial to the county, to its development. When's the last time it's been used for
never.
Never been used by the county except for
mowing it whenever.
Mowing it, repairing some vandalism.
We need to hide something down there, basically.
Pretty much it costs us money.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like.
And
on the other...
That's all,
Mark's comment, you know, up until less than a year ago, our whole tourism department has been totally volunteer and not totally understanding, the whole budget of things that we could spend, couldn't spend, some of the rules and regulations. And so that's one of the reasons that it's gone this long without something happening to it. Now that we're trying to do something more aggressive.
And that's my thing, and I guess that's the mindset we've been dealing with here lately, with increasing our tourism, our eco-development, and stuff like this. We have a building that sets out in the middle of the Gulf. Why, when we're looking to make money, why would we not market and use that if we can for whatever? I mean, if it's... they send us these trainings.
I brought this up at the meeting yesterday.
I don't see where there would be any way the county would profit off of this. It's a state-owned property that they're only asking us to partner with them to provide
upkeep,
to maintain, provide someone down there as a caretaker, and all of that for them to be able to use it for educational purposes and things like that. I don't see anywhere where it would be profitable to the county if there's any event held down there. We would just be maintaining the ground, providing caretaker down there, paying the utility bills, sewer, water, electricity.
So here's what I'd like Chayda to look into. If we provide those services, it's open for the public. If we turn it back over to them, according to her, they're going to close it off to the public.
But it doesn't.
So there's got to be something in that verbiage somewhere that, that we got a little bit more safe on what goes on out there and what you're being told.
I'm going to suggest this. Now, we done got a motion, second. We're still in discussion. I'm going to suggest, let's table it, let Ms. Chayda go over it thoroughly. And then bring it back to us at the next meeting.
And the reason I say that, I think it's why I moved the train
If we kept it, could we rent that out for special occasions and make money with the county? Could we? I'm just asking.
And that's one of the things.
That's what I would like for her to check on.
Here's what I brought up in the meeting yesterday. Dixie County may be one of the poorest counties in the state. We don't get a grant. We don't get a waiver on a match. On a lot of things, we don't get it. But we're rich in natural resources. We've got rivers on both sides. We've got all this state land up this way, all down the coastline, federal land, hiking, you got the Gulf. This is a recreational paradise. You can market that and do guided tours, because these people ain't never seen. I care some people in the river swamp that was raised in Big Cypress, and they seen everything in the world. I care about river swamp down there.
This is a problem right here.
I blowed their mind.
Yep.
These people will pay money to come look at this stuff. We want to start looking at that avenue to bring money in here. Bringing business and all that, we kind of just ain't going to happen when we sit.
1 to 6 feet goes down.
To give you a for instance on how quick that could happen, Ramblin' Woods was the last subdivision that was built in this county. They marketed it down south. They did a big promo show in the river, all the recreational stuff here. The whole subdivision sold in 30 days. And was not a lot left. They had a lot of another one been broke up. But if it is advertised and marketed, you can use that as a bird watching thing, and then you can have somebody take kayak tours and create a job for somebody off that money that they charge the people that with kayaks for them to carry them on that tour.
Absolutely not.
So, that's anything that we've got like that we could use for the county down the road that way. I think we need to try to hang on to it because it's going to be beneficial. And I think that's the avenue we need to try to go as far as the county to try to bring in more jobs, and it will be a green job or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's tourism, it's on our natural resources.
And I can also look into tourism, look at the statute again, to see funds.
See if y'all can help.
They can help with this too. I'd be glad to look into all of that.
There again, gentlemen, this is the state of Florida's property. It's not the county's property. So if there's any money to be made, I can almost promise you that
we're not going to get it.
Okay,
I'm going to take a look at it.
So
I do see one issue here that I you know, like I said, I've been trying to read this.
I see Paul's point too. If we ain't going to get, if we're not going to make no money off of it, then, but.
Why spend money?
County ain't here to make money. We can make money enough to cover the expenses.
Put a caretaker on her.
I ain't seen her shake her head yet. Except for to get rid of us.
There's no expenses.
That's the one you better be watching, the bean counter.
There's not going to be any money generated to cover expenses. We would pay for a caretaker to be there. We would pay for the utilities. We would pay for the maintenance. We would pay for the lawn service. We would pay for the trash.
Check that out.
Bring
that right in.
Let's wait.
One issue I do see, and you know, gentlemen, this may be something that we don't have to go any further with. The responsibility of the county under number 5, it says that the county may allow vehicle access to the area depicted in the attachment, 1 to no more than 6 vehicles at any one time. So that really hinders any usage we could have. I mean, are there, and I honestly don't know the area that well, and I apologize, I should, because I've lived here my entire life. I don't know how much parking's down there, so when they say 1 to 6 vehicles, are they talking about one at a time on the road, or are they talking about 1 to 6 parked on the property down there? I'm not certain. But I could see where, if, you know, some of my thinking is where we could use it for events or possibly rent it out for events as a venue or anything else. That wouldn't be possible if we can have only 6 vehicles down there.
Plus the spring tide, it's going to flood.
So, just FYI on that.
Again, if we have time, look into the tourism funds, possibly any grants that might be available to help with a program like this. I mean, I know we've had 14 years, so I couldn't really say a whole lot, you know.
We can't apply for a grant if
it's
not our property.
Well, but no, we've, okay.
Way we can generate funds for the county, to help the county, then get rid of it.
I know from the past that they have applied for grants, and we have jointly supported their application for grants for this property.
Ms. Chana, would it, your opinion right now, would it do any good for you to research this a little bit, or with what you see right now, we just need to vote on it completely and be done with it?
Right. Or the 1 to 6 vehicles has me really buffaloed on how we could use it. You know, now if they were willing to amend it, and of course that's not what we're talking about. You know, they've approached us undoubtedly about wanting to give it back. I don't think we did, we, Paul?
We're not giving anything.
I understand that, but we're
very
cutting
about the, do we want to get out of the memorandum of agreement where we provide things to them for them to run their operation?
Okay. Exactly.
It's not under our control. It's not anything that we would
benefit from at all.
Other than spend money to help.
How long ago did that?
Trying to get rid of it. Y'all won't let me.
2014. Hang on.
Work from the people that donated this on how it was worded on how that property was donated and who it was donated to.
It didn't donate to us, Jody.
All right, we got a motion and a second. I think we had a long enough discussion. We got a motion from Mr. Osteen to get rid of it, correct?
Well, yeah.
To
let them
to determine exactly. We're not taking care of it no more. And we got a second on that from Mr. Woods. Y'all keeping both of them?
Yes.
All in favor?
Thank you. I'll notify them that we're giving them our 90 days to get out of the memorandum of agreement.
Okay.
I agree with y'all. I still would like to
I'd like to look at the paperwork on what the intent for the funding is.
Okay, move on.
This Angie, the monitor guys of the wellness check, happening next week. I'd also like to remind you that the Swanee River Livestock Fair is actually going on now until March the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Any of you want to visit over there?
Okay.
I would also like to ask the board's opinion on, it's been mentioned by a couple of different department heads, on getting a monitor in here similar to what we have in the county manager's office, where we have meetings and these are new presentations. Leon has expressed several times that it would be beneficial to him to be able to pull up maps and different sketches and drawings. I would just like to ask the board's opinion on how you feel about it, setting up monitors in here to be able to support our patients. It would be nothing more than just a big TV monitor and a small computer that Mr. Scott Pendar would be able to set up in here very easily.
I think it's a good idea.
Me too.
Depending on where you put it.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea. We got money for that. Ain't got enough for the fence.
We're looking at probably $400.
Is that it, Mr. Powell?
That's all I have, with the exception of, I know the last board meeting that it was talked about extensively about consulting services. We had asked Ms. Chana to look into piggybacking off of the town of Horseshoe Beach when they secure their consulting services. She looked into that. She has some opinions, if you want to give that now.
I have some real concerns about the piggybacking. Their procurement procedures, and it may very well qualify, but there are some questions as far as the municipality falls under different guidelines than what we do, because they can set their own procurement procedures. If their procurement procedure falls short and we piggyback on it, when we have any audit, they could come back for reimbursement of any funds that we receive and use, but as being not procured properly. They procured through the Dixie County paper. Very few of our procurements can we run an ad just in our little local paper for services like that. So I would recommend to the board to err to the side of caution. I know we would like to get this done, and that was the motion of the board. But I would much rather spend a couple hundred dollars or whatever it costs to advertise it and be assured that if we get audited in 2 years by the federal government, that we have met the standards so that they will not seek reimbursement for any FEMA money or any other monies that we receive. That is a concern I have. It may or may, we won't know whether Horseshoe is totally out of the dark probably for a couple of years until they come in and audit. Horseshoe meets, then they're going to get, you know, be no hardship to them. But if they don't, they could be looking to have to pay back any money they received. And that's not a boat I want us to be in. Mm-hmm. There is a few concerns as far as some of the terms and all, also in the contract is not things that we would need. And again, when you piggyback, you're kind of stuck with what you're piggybacking off of. That's my recommendation. And as y'all know, y'all can do what you want to do.
With that being said, hearing from Ms. Chana, I just need the board to give me direction on what y'all want to do.
I want to hire a consultant.
I would need to know exactly what services that we would be consulting for. I mean, because if you just put out consulting services, that could be for legal consulting services, engineering consulting services, building table consulting. I need to know what scope of work and what services would be advertised for.
Grant. You're an administrating grant. Do you want to go line by line? Is that what we do?
I just need to know.
Line by line. And then?
A scope of work and services that we're advertising for.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why we can do the same
what
thing.
What assistance
with grant applications and sporting complex, just anything that's consulted you can go out and obtain for us.
Grant,
economic development.
Grant application and administrative oversight.
And you're going to have to advertise, correct? Well,
sure, I'll have it advertised for later. I'll lock for the board to get that. In the motion, I take it to a vote and need to be able to advertise for those services.
Motion to advertise for new services.
We got a motion to advertise for Mr. Hatch, new services.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood, we in the discussion. I know we had a hand held up back here. Y'all continue, my opinion, y'all continue doing what y'all doing.
In my opinion, you continue what you're doing, but it don't hurt for that to be in their scope of work also, because y'all are not perfect.
I didn't mean it that way. I wanted to make sure that whether we even need to look at a fine.
Use this man, right? Y'all can use him also to help y'all.
Yes, sir. Most definitely.
Now, by all means, y'all continue doing exactly what y'all doing.
Y'all, nothing away from what y'all doing.
Yes. You don't change up nothing. Unless you can make it better. And I know if you make it better, that's what you're going to do.
Many of ours are annually reoccurring.
Right.
List of items that we have in mind, but if we needed to use them specifically, I just needed to know that. But, of course, any assistance is always greatly appreciated.
Any more discussion? Got a motion, second, all in favor.
Aye.
Okay.
Folks, I'm going to step out, the meeting's about over, and I've got to go take some medication. I don't want to go back to the hospital. I haven't been down that road, so it's been a good meeting. I appreciate everybody, and I hate to go, but I like I said, if I miss that dose, then I may wind up back with
no.
I won't be there.
Don't miss it.
Paul, I asked you to get with DOT and you said you sent him an email about a traffic study from Highway.
I also did reach out to DOT concerning her, and I got a response back from DOT on how that process actually works. And you can see there that once construction is completed, there is a flow chart on the process that DOT would have to follow and present a traffic
signal
at that location.
When was this?
The new
Dawn store.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. It needs to be. Been needs something.
Still, there's by the dollar store, isn't there? Don't we?
Have anything else, Paul? Mr. Paul, you got anything else?
Chairman,
you no, thank you, Mr. Paul, for putting up with us all the hard work you and Ms. Martha do for this county. All right, Ms. Chana?
I have a few things, gentlemen, if y'all will bear with me just a minute so that I don't miss any of this. Okay. The first thing, gentlemen, I believe y'all have been approached by Mr. Holyfield in regards to an easement which would cross over the property at the Jack Roberts Curve roll-off site to access the piece of property that he has. I think Mr. Jason's here also, and if y'all have any questions or would you like more information on it, I would ask Mr. Jason to step up and we'll go from there. But he did, the site he is talking about, like I say, is the one on Jack Roberts Curve. We did reach out to Mr. John Locklear, who reached out to DEP to make sure that that was...
I spoke with Mr. Locklear, that is
okay.
A a site that we use that we have burn permits and things on concerning our roll-off site, and ask him if we did move forward with granting this easement, would it affect that site at all as far as our permit and using the roll-off site, and he assured me that it would not affect it at all.
Jason, come on up here. I got a couple of questions for you, please.
How y'all doing?
We're good.
How you doing, Jason?
Hey, how's
Jason.
It feel on that side?
It feels pretty good.
It's not there before too long. But good. On this right here, it's just a 30-foot easement goes down the property line, back up, going into your property. And what you're trying to do is keep your cows in there. Keep that traffic out of a residential neighborhood. So you're going to put the fence there to on that easement.
It needs a fence, just like y'all talking about. I'm going to fence it. I'm going to clear it out, fence it for them. And I'm going to do it.
So. Well, I'll make the motion for us.
Second. We got a motion to accept it. Mr. Osteen, second Mr. Wood. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Wait a minute. I do got some.
All right.
You said you're going to fence it and clear it, and that's it, correct?
He's going to push the road in there and fence it.
I'm going to pay you for it.
Why?
Yeah.
That's my question.
Sir, we need some
fishing.
Yes.
He's been doing a lot of costs. I don't think we ought to charge any property tax owner to use county land that everybody pays taxes on already. So I don't think paying for it's a good example for citizens. I think the fencing of it and the clearing of it is plenty.
I'm willing to pay, but whatever y'all say.
That's
I'm
my
here.
Opinion.
It's always good to take a bird's hand. This is a perpetual easement. Just he did send me a copy of the easement, so you gentlemen on that end, he has had it drafted up. It's a perpetual easement for his successors and assigns and heirs into perpetuity. So that being said, so that y'all all understand exactly what this easement is, and not saying we have to sign his easement. We can always, I can draft it up differently. But as this happens, generally if you are the dominant land, which is one that has the easement across it. No, I got that backwards, gentlemen. Bear with me. The dominant land is the one that's benefiting from the use of the easement. The servient land is the one that has the easement on it. If the servient land sells their property, the county, and I'll use words we all understand, if the county sells their property, any easement we have on that property would at that time go with the land. If Mr. Holyfield was to sell his property as a general easement, it would revert back. It wouldn't necessarily have to stay with the person he sells it to unless they were landlocked. This property is not landlocked, but with the assessors, signs, heirs, and devises into perpetuity, it will remain with anyone he might sell it to. Again, I'm not trying to throw a monkey wrench in it, but I want to be very clear as to what we are doing, and that would be one of the reasons I say if we do, is let him pay for it in that way. Again, totally your gentleman's call.
What's the number?
He's offering $5,000.
Got your check today, and
that'll
help y'all budget.
Are you good with that?
Yes, sir, I am.
Are you happy with that?
Very happy.
You smile? All right, and we're still in the discussion now.
Yeah.
We got a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Now it's for me to pay for it, right?
Yep.
I'll get y'all a check.
Gentlemen, on that same note and similar, but very different, we have a landlocked piece of property that, and again, I'm going to probably give you all a little education, whether you want it or not, law. We've got a landlocked piece of property at one time that was under the same owner. So if you own a piece of property and it is subdivided out or broke out and sold in different parcels, and it is landlocked, then the parent property, which in this case, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but was originally owned by the Keating, the county ended up with a piece, and we have a property owner, Ms. Chairs, who ended up with a piece. The county's piece is definitely not landlocked. It was along our airport, and of course we have full access. I think this is the one that Mr. Brown was here that we are possibly considering putting a garage at. However, Ms. Chairs' property is totally landlocked. Now, that being said, she could sue us to get access. I believe a court would give her access because we are part of the parent property. I would recommend that we grant her access. However, it's not on our dime to ensure she can get access. It is on her dime. Very similar to, like I say, Mr. Holyfield's, as far as the difference in his was not landlocked. Hers is landlocked. So we are pretty much obligated to give her access. I believe a court of law, if it was taken, would require us to do so because of that law I just explained to you, gentlemen. I would recommend not us going through a lawsuit to get to that point when we could easily just say, hey, you can have access, but you got to pay for the clearing and the fencing or anything else.
She can see it, exactly.
Right. So that would be my recommendation, gentlemen. And again, y'all can do as you choose. I know we just had Mr. Holyfield pay us for an access. So your call, gentlemen.
Ms. Chain, if I may, I would like to just explain the handout of giving you, gentlemen. If you'll look at what's outlined in green, that is the county property.
Mm-hmm.
What is outlined in blue is the property in question that is owned by Ms. Chairs. And the red line there is the shortest, easiest route that I would suggest that we would provide her, which takes us right along the edge of the property line.
That's her.
It does not take away any of the property use or anything that we would use in the future. That would be the least path of resistance.
And that would be another reason I recommend that we grant the access, because we're in control of where it goes.
Yeah.
Whereas if she was to have to, depending on what direction she wanted, a court could rule that we had to give her that access, and it could be right through the middle of where we want to put a garage.
Okay.
I don't think that would happen on that aspect. But
I just want to reiterate what Ms. Chain has said, that all of this, any clearing or anything,
still on her. Yep. The okay to do it.
And I would say that also she would be required to have any insurance for anybody hurt or anything like that. Typical of anything else that we would allow someone on county property to do. But that way she's not denied access to her property. We give her a means to get there. How she accomplishes that is back on her.
Need a motion?
We will need a motion, gentlemen, on this one also. Like I say, at y'all's discretion.
Motion to have access?
The red line.
Okay. We got a motion, Mr. Osteen, of the way they've got it drawn up here, down the fence line.
I'll second.
We got a second, Mr. Wood. Discussion? All in favor?
Thank you, gentlemen. That is everything I do have today, sir.
Okay. Ms. Hickenbottom?
I don't have anything in actuality, but I was at a meeting yesterday with Mr. Paul and Ms. Martha and several others, and when we came into office in 21, y'all know what a disaster the finance office was. We've spent the last starting our fourth year. We're still cleaning it up. It is 85% better than it was, at least. We're moving forward every day, but we've worked hard to get where we're at, and to sit in a meeting and be blasted about how bad it is in Dixie County, my blood was boiling when I left out of there, and he's not here to hear me. But I just want y'all to know we are doing everything in our power. We're making things better every day.
Well, you said it's 85% better. Well, listen. No, you may have 15% more to go, but I'm telling you from my few years before y'all got there, we didn't have no paperwork to tell us what we had, where it was going, anything. Y'all got it 150% better than what it has been since I've been in this chair. And you probably got a man right back there shaking his head that he was in the same situation sitting up here, that they didn't give us the papers y'all give us. And Mr. Hatch right here can tell you that, because he's been sitting in this chair a lot longer than the rest of us. So
you're doing an awesome job.
Yes.
I appreciate you. Don't take that.
Thank you. We've offered time and time again for him to come in and sit down. We'll talk to him and show him and explain to him. And he's never shown up, but he's constantly bad-mouthing him. I just wanted that out there.
Anything else?
Ms. Jackson, you have anything?
I have a budget. A budget report.
Thank you, Ms. Jackson.
Yeah. Well, if you share with him.
Okay. I'll share with her.
Yeah, Miss Jackie, hand one Mr. Holyfield. Right by Eric. Holyfield, it's been several years, buddy, but here you go.
Sorry. Okay, we're 42% in. Counting, so we're almost to the halfway point. We've got most of the majority of our ad valorem taxes in. You know, there's usually a nice little deposit in April. So there's going to be a good jump there. But everything else is posted and up to date. And if we got it in our office, it's in here. So so that's where we're at. It shows the carry forward amount. We're getting ready to get this 23 audit done. They'll be here at the end of the month, and we should have a audit on time for the first time in a long, I don't know if it's ever been on time here. But it's supposed to be done on June 30th, and usually it's September, October, or later here, and we finally caught up. We have every bank account is reconciled. It's all up to date at this point, which is, this is the first time I've been able to say that completely. Brenda's worked real hard getting that done. We will work together, tag teamed, obviously. But, and I'm not saying that we weren't monitoring the bank accounts. Please don't get that sort of wrong. I'm just saying it wasn't, you come in and you're 2 years behind. Well, mm-hmm. It takes, a lot of time because life is going on while you're catching up, trying to catch up. And you still only have X amount of people to do all that. So,
Miss Jackie, that's 2 years behind on audits.
On audits.
On audits that they stepped into.
And there was a year's worth of revenue that hadn't been posted, and there was, I could go on. We could go on and on and on. But anyway, it's better. We're proud of what we've accomplished. We've got more to do. But, we still cannot make money for y'all. You have to be the ones that say where the money comes from. You make the decisions. We're just minding the house, the bank account. If we're only taking in $500,000, we can only spend $500,000. It doesn't, we can't stretch it out. It doesn't happen. You can't put it in. If you spend the whole $500,000, none of it goes in the bank to savings or to fund balance. There's a choice that we're making. It's like the salvage money. It went into the road department. It was used for road department functions. Yeah, you can't have 50 bank accounts with all these little bitty pots of money. It's whatever they need in the road department at the time. And it was culverts. That was a huge priority.
Yes.
You had to do it, and it wasn't any choice. If you want to pay that back, it's going to come out of general fund money, or it's going to come out of storm money whenever it gets here. And we have no idea when that storm money's
going to get here.
We got a first little check the other day, not the insurance money. I'm talking about some FEMA reimbursement. It was
$14,000.
Ian. Oh, okay. So we just got Ian money. So you see where we're going to be with Adalia.
It'll take a while.
It'll be years.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm just saying, we, in order to get fund balance, in order to get this county in even better financial shape, we have to get dedicated revenue sources and revenue, and then say, okay, what can we afford out of this money? So it's priorities. It's where you're. And it's not our decision. Like I said, it's your decision, it's your budget, and we just have to try and go by it and use this as a guideline. And just because it's in the budget doesn't mean you have the money to back it up either. So you got, it's like when Tim was talking about the solid waste money. Yeah, he's got money in the budget. He doesn't have much revenue to back it up. You've got your special assessments, but those special assessments barely cover the salaries. So the rest of the operation's got to be funded somehow. So it's just every one of these is a unique situation and a unique opportunity of how you're going to fund it and what you want to do to benefit the county and what your priorities are. That's one of the reasons why I've encouraged everybody to be more involved in the budget process, because that's gonna tell a tale to you as to what can be done with what resources we have and what can be done with the resources. But it's a budget process which we're heading into, and this is why it's on my mind. Is I've already talked to Paul about getting some dates on the calendar and to start working with the department heads, and it's a big deal, and it's a big responsibility, and we're trying to see into the future too, and we don't have a crystal ball any more than you all do, and we do the best we can with what we've got, but we can't stretch that dollar any further than a dollar, no matter what we try to do. So anyway. Anybody have any questions about this report?
Thank you for the report.
Thank you.
And anything else you all need or want to see, please feel free. We'll be glad to make any kind of reports or anything like that.
And just one other thing. When we came in and we started including the department heads in the budget process, they were all just amazed. They were like, oh, this all makes sense now. We didn't realize how this works.
They never.
So it's very important for everybody to be involved and know how it works.
Right. I do have a question. So this
state your name, please.
Is this budget you just passed out? Does this mean you're just passed out?
Are
we staying within the budget?
Yeah,
that was my question.
Yep.
If you look at the revenues and you look at the expenditures, if the revenues are more than the expenditures, you're in the black on each fund.
Okay. Does that make sense? That's the
Okay. You got the original. That copy. I didn't hear you. I apologize. I know that our clerk is...
Miss Jackie, is that it? Thank you, Miss Jackie. All right, Commissioner Adams. Mr. Wood?
Been doing some good stuff in the second district, and the road department's been helping me out with it, getting some stuff fixed, and sure am glad to have Hutch back. He's been good help. I'm glad he's back and healthy, and about it for me, really.
Mr. Hatch?
I want to first of all apologize about missing some of our meetings. I know I've missed some economic development meetings. I've missed some stormwater task force meetings the last 12 or actually 15, 16 days. We've endured quite a bit. My mother had a heart valve replaced that broke a piece of plaque loose and it went to the right side of her brain. She had a stroke and she has very, very, very minimal use of her left side. She cannot speak. So that's been taking a lot of my time up. My son, who's 26 years old, he suffered a heart attack actually. And he's at home now, so that hinders me from my business because he's always been right there helping me with that and allowing me to do other things with the county. And my wife's got COVID. My mother's house got broke into last night. And it's my birthday. Happy birthday to me. But there again, I know a lot of y'all knows about this, and I want to thank y'all for your prayers and ask you to continue prayers. Because my son and my mother's got a pretty long recovery ahead of them. That's all I got. Thank y'all.
Yes, I got several things. Mark, our prayers go out to you and your family, and if there's anything you need, you just let us know. Call me.
Thank you.
I'll have to do whatever. Hopefully everybody get on the mend and be okay. Second off, when I got appointed back in this position, Mr. Jody gave me a board to sit on, and it has been a nightmare. Thankfully, I have a county manager and a county attorney that's been helping me. I believe I've been in more meetings than I have any other meeting altogether, and we still have not settled it. They're having a board meeting over there right now. I was supposed to be in, but this is more important, and as we found out, me and Miss Sharon Langford over there have found out there's been some wrongdoings on the other end over there. So, that being said, there's going to be auditors and investigators over there in the Lake City office, and the state has sent us a letter giving us the only option to go to Oxford County. And the only thing that, of course, I got aggravated for a little bit because I don't think Oxford County needs to be telling Dixie County what to do whatsoever, but after visiting, you know, our places in Old Town, going down there and checking on those folks and stuff like that, this serves quite a few people trying to assist them in application, going to school and jobs and stuff, assisting, and the summer program. Every time I go down there, they're being helped. And as I was discussing with Mr. Sharon Langford, their office is closed, so we've been taking on that flow, too.
From Gilchrist.
So the only thing that I have a beef with, you know, going with that, is a weighted vote Oxford County's wanting to have. Now, we get over that, I'm going to continue to keep helping our citizens and go on that way and suck it up and just
you know, do what we need to do, but other than that weighted vote. Everybody ought to be the same, one
That's
vote
right.
per county. If they
yes.
want 50% vote to go with us, little counties, 10%, I ain't for that. But thankfully, Ms. Chain has been helping me a whole bunch, and I appreciate that. But whenever it gets resolved, I'll bring it back to the board and let y'all know what's going on. Third thing, April 13th, you know, I've mentioned in here a few years, we take a lot of kids, several kids over there to the Coast Guard base, the open house over there, and just, you know, kids that don't know what they want to do or if they want to go to school and don't have the funding, we take them over there and show them a career. And a lot of times when they come from the high school, they don't get took away from it. Canada as a career day. And we take them over there, and those guys and girls over there, question and answer, nothing binding, show them on patrol boats, go to each department, show them what's about. A lot of times, most of them, a lot of them go over there, and some of them sign up, and some of them go reserves that already has a career and wants another career, maybe for their education they pay for it. But anyway, April 13th, they're going to have an open house. And it'll be from 10 to 2. So if y'all know any kids that may be interested, send them on. It's at Mayport U.S. Coast Guard Station, and everybody's welcome to come. And one more thing, Ms. Chana. I have spoke with Mr. Hutz. During the storm cleanup mall, there's a large, old, like 70s, late 70s motorhome that's been left there. I was hoping someone would haul it, come by there and haul it for scrap. But I didn't want Hush to go get it, thus get in a legal battle with somebody that, you know, I left it there, which they left it there for us to haul off. But I want you to do a little research for that and see what we need to do to get that eyesore out of there, because it's stop the season's coming.
Festival, and it's down there in Gina.
It's down there at the Gina Boat Ramp parking. It needs to be moved. And whatever we need to do, we need to.
Is it on our property?
Yes.
All you got to do is call the sheriff's office, let them go down and red tag it in 48 hours, and then call the tow company to come get it out of there.
They have to just notify the owner, but we can get a hold of them.
Yeah. Well, I looked for some PIN numbers and couldn't find none, so. Yeah.
Turn it over to the sheriff's office and have it gone 48 hours.
That's all I have. Sorry for being long-winded.
All right. I'm sorry it took us 3 hours and 10 minutes, but it's not over. We've got a few more discussions, but we had a good meeting and a good crowd, and I want to thank y'all for y'all's respect, and because we started off kind of bumping heads a little bit, but thank y'all for not getting out of hand. And we do need to keep... I'm just going to say his name, Mr. Hatch, and his family in prayers. I know there's a lot of other people in our county that's same situation in somewhat. But when you get hit, as hard as he's been hit, within a week or so, it just takes, you know, I've lost my mom, but I know how he feels. But I can't tell you how he feels about his son. And it kind of breaks my heart, you know, to see what he's going through. But all we can do for him and his family is keep him in our prayers, because that's all we got is a good Lord to look after. So he's the only one that can fix it, period. So with that said, it's y'all's turn. Anybody got anything to say?
My name is Mary Goodrich. I got asked some questions to ask at this meeting, and I'm sure you guys are going to be able to figure out who asked me.
You got 3 minutes.
Okay. I'm going to skip the part where he says hi there. I was recently told by someone that the commissioners are done. They do not intend to finish digging around out here so that we don't flood. They said it was always a flood out there, so why bother? Okay?
Okay. Hang on, I'm going to answer that one. We just got a new piece of equipment from, we didn't pay for it. Okay, go ahead.
I stuck up for you.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. I've also learned that they do not have enough money to keep the people's salary at the courthouse since they had to go up to minimum wage. I could have sworn in one meeting that we went to, or I went to, I'm sure, if you made it there, there is supposed to be getting the books and budgets back on track. What happened to that? I stuck up for you. And this is going to help me after you explain it. Okay. Also, during the flood, what happened to anybody coming in from this point on having to have to put a culvert in? And that is because they're seeing people coming in with mobile homes, house being built, whatever, and no culverts. So now you can answer all the questions.
Okay. Well, on the first one, I don't know where they got that information from, but I've had several people out there in my district, other districts, and I'm saying, look, getting a new piece of equipment that's got a new, nice, pretty bucket to make a unified ditch. We've got an older piece of equipment that is in good shape, but finding the right person to run that older piece of equipment has been challenging. And they've went out there, and we've got fussed at because they dig a little bit too deep, what they think, and the ditches not look just right. So this new piece of equipment is going to help fix that, and it's going to be a lot quicker and faster.
Yep.
So, but it takes time on that. Now, the rest of it, I can't answer the rest of it.
Well, I'm just letting you know what to say. Is there any way that, like, you can update the people, maybe to Facebook or something?
Paul, you got the list of the stuff that's been done there in the hammock.
Let's make sense.
Clean out from, I mean.
I don't know where they live in the hammock, but the hammock is in a heck of a lot better shape than it's been in a very long time as far as drainage.
For 50 years.
I don't know where that person lives, but I got a card right here, and they can get my truck to be, and I'm going to show them. So,
I wouldn't have it. It's three people that have asked me. I'm sure you can figure out where
it's. I'm not worried about it.
Thank you
for sticking out.
Yes, thank you, Miss Goodrich.
And can I have your permit?
Yes, ma'am.
You go from that to her. She's being spoken.
And you are her commissioner.
And I am her commissioner. And I ain't scared of her. Tour.
Anybody else?
Do y'all have a government?
State your name.
James Melton. Do you have a? Are y'all going to send us a time or a paper or something when we're
going to
get together?
Yes, me and Leon to get together, and I'm going to do my best to be there with you, Mr. James. And I'd like for us all three, all four, everybody to get together and see what we come up with, to where y'all live together with no fussing in the future, and everybody be happy.
No problem with that.
Is that good with you?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Anybody else?
It's going to be first part of next week sometime.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Ryan Porter, we have a centennial celebration meeting today of planning, and it's advertised, so anybody can come.
Okay.
If you have time, we'll take all the help we can get. We can remember it'll be April 4th.
Okay.
Mr. Ryan, tell everybody what time it is, please.
I'm sorry, 3:30 at City Hall.
Anybody else? Need a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch, and a second, Mr. Oakley. All in favor? Aye. We got a doctor's.
How'd it turn out?
But anyway,
I was good. Really? What's wrong?